Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. How are you? Today is Saturday night, and we're going to be doing another night of nothing but readings. So if you have anything that you want to ask, give us a call here at 646-721-9031. And we're getting some calls in here, so better get in there before it gets filled up, and you won't be able to get in. Like I said, I'm your host, Psychic X Journeyman. My friends call me Donnie. Welcome to the show. And if you have any kind of things you want to even ask about, as in curious questions about anything, feel free to pop in here and give us a call here at 646-721-9031. I also do private readings as well, private readings, angel card readings, life coaching, relationship counseling. We have sessions for those, each and every one of those things too right now. We're having a really fantastic a special going on for the holidays. So give us a call in here. If you want to get a basically, if you want to get a private reading, what you need to do is give us a call at 740-500-8863, or call me through Skype, which is 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The specials are going on this week, going on for the holidays. It's actually for a 60-minute session, it's $33.33. For a 40-minute session, it's $22.22. And for a 20-minute session, it's $11.11. We also have another one where if you want to take one card, we pick one card out of the deck and do a 15-minute reading, between 15 and 20 minutes sometimes. So one card reading, one card angel reading for $9.99. Also, with the situation going on, if you also want to take, like I said before, we do life coaching and we also do relationship counseling. And those sessions are 90-minute sessions, and they run for $77.77. So those are great specials. So get in there and take advantage of those things. And if you're a person who's not, say that you're not thinking you need a reading, then it's the holiday season. Get one for a friend or a family member or whatever. We do have gift certificates, so check them out. Also, donations. Donate to the show. Donate to support the show. Donate to help me get to England and help me to get to Finley College. So do the whole thing like that. So this, take a look at the situation calls in here. It's, what the heck? All right. Well, that's interesting. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, are you area code 919?
No, 214.
Oh, okay. 214. Well, welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Very good, thank you. My name is Prim.
Prim?
Mm-hmm.
And where are you calling from? What's 214?
It's Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So with the situation going on, that kind of thing, how can we help you tonight? What's on your mind?
Well, I was wondering what direction my guides are helping me towards, because I kind of feel like a lot of things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have been sensing my ex-father, but I never met him. I mean, he was a nice gentleman. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy situations going on, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, guides. We're looking for the situation of pointing out things that are supposed to be going on. We're still trying to recuperate from this late start. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Take your time. Completely understand. I know you were off the air for a while, and it's a great show.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out I will sit there looking at this thing on my switchboard, and it's like, okay, what happened? Things have changed. There's usually little boxes and stuff to click on and stuff, and now there's nothing to be clicked on.
Yeah, the chat box, yeah, it's not there.
I'm just like, okay, what happened?
Exactly, I was looking for that too, and I figured, well, I guess each show chooses if they want it open.
Well, we've had one of those situations where we've had some problems with that, so we have a tendency to hesitate because of some of the things that have gone on.
Mm.
A lot of people doing some crazy stuff and this, that, and the other, and I'm just like, what the heck?
No chat room for you.
Yeah, I figured it out, too. Cause I'm like, okay, oh, like different time, but shoot. I don't know. I actually was looking at the situation here. Therefore, I must have an account if I'm doing a show, right? But it's not doing that. So I was like, that's kind of weird. Anyway. So what's your thing is to get more insight, because there's a lot of things going on with changes and stuff right now for you.
Yes. I kind of can't really pinpoint what's going on with me.
There's a lot of chaos. You also missed, it's like in the process of shuffling cards and stuff. You can almost sense the chaos. So it's almost like a shifting. We see, like, look at a puzzle, and someone comes in and shifts the pieces around. And then as you're in the process of trying to finish the puzzle, you realize someone has changed some pieces, and you got to go back and redo those too. I just don't know. I keep getting this chaos about everybody and everyone. What that means is, to specify the whole thing, when we go on the air, what it does is it starts counting backwards. Like, you know, if it's a two-hour show, then they'll go 1:59:00.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it says 4 hours, 42 minutes, and 51 seconds.
No way.
I'm sitting here going, 4 hours. I think sometimes the way our shows go, it'd be nice to have a 4-hour show.
That would be good.
Yeah, but I guess it's like a projection of things to come, right?
Yes.
So what I was trying to do was, you have an option on your chat room where you can actually be a co-host. Okay? And I was thinking, well, maybe we might be able to push the chat as a co-host and get in there. No such luck.
Mm-mm.
So I'm just looking at the situation going, I guess we're not really destined to have a chat tonight. And I usually try to switch over to my laptop real quick. But I'm not even getting a signal with that.
see. Now on mine, it says an hour 43 remaining.
Good. Someone's got the time.
Yeah.
Like to be a co-host?
Don't mind.
No, I'm sitting here as we're sitting here talking. I'm actually chatting. Oh, yeah, of course I'm chatting. Okay, sorry. What I'm saying is I'm actually shuffling your cards. I just need you to tell me when to stop shuffling. I like to get a nice little shuffle before I even ask somebody, just to get everything else out of there prior. Plus, it's a big deck, so it takes some time to actually, you know,
get
in the rhythm.
Yeah,
not really. It's just one. Let's see. Well, we're going to try to stay with the format, too, tonight, too, because I forgot that we actually have been taking people's area codes and looking them up in the Angel Book to see what they mean.
Ha!
214.
I like
two
that.
Yeah, 214. All right, 214. You are supported by the Archangels and the Angels. Give them any cares or worries, because as your mind is illuminated with joy and faith, you attract more favorable outcomes. So it's basically going along with what you're talking about, too, because in the process of change, we want to keep things going in a positive direction. So basically what that is saying, you need to communicate with your angels and archangels. A lot of people ask the question, you know, I don't understand what some of the guidance is. They're saying that we got guidance coming across, we got information, and I'm picking it up, but I'm just not sure exactly what it means. And I say, well, don't worry. It's one of those situations, too, that it's okay to ask for clarity. Because
yeah.
In the process of them giving us messages, people forget. What I'm saying is I'm trying to figure out why people think they can't ask. Almost like they're embarrassed. Like, I can't ask this person because the angel will think I'm stupid. No. Did you say stop shuffling?
You can stop.
Okay, but you didn't say, but prior to me asking that question, you had not.
No,
okay,
I hadn't, but I'd put it out there that to tell you when to stop, you'd know.
Okay. Next question is the idea of asking you, you want me to cut the deck?
Yes.
All right. Hey, last night everybody wanted to keep it the way it is. They seem to be a chain reaction, too. Everybody wanted to do it that way, so no big deal. What we're doing here, guys, is if you just tuned in, I'm Psychic X Journeyman. This is Psychic X Journeyman, it's a spiritual link. I'm your host. So if you just tuned in, welcome. What we're doing is when we pull the angel cards out, what we're going to do is we're going to do a three-card pyramid spread. That's where we put down three cards, then two, and one. And the reason we stress people about getting private readings is because we actually do a seven and a five-card spreads, but the five-card spread can take up to 20 to 30 minutes. And the seven-card spread could be anywhere between 45 to 60 minutes, sometimes longer. So they are time-consuming, but they're very worth it. And plus, I think it's the ideal. We always try to get as detailed as possible. So check that out. Go to my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The first thing comes out with, there's a lot of releasements going on with you, and I also get the impression the first card that came out was healing.
Mm-hmm.
And you always do have a lot of, in the process of certain things, that you know the changes going on, so there's definitely releasement going on. In the process of releasement, there's a time of healing.
Yes.
Someone's like cutting your arm off. There's a span of healing afterwards, you know? Go ahead.
That's very true. It usually comes hand in hand when you're healing something.
Mm-hmm.
Healing through.
Because the one thing we stressed on the idea of too much releasement too soon, it just gets overwhelming. Because the ideal, you need to take things properly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and actually, the next card was the ideal. You are safe, and it's actually this is the Archangel Michael. It says you are protected as you against lower energies, which basically Michael's saying he's protecting you from you against lower energies, guarding you, your loved ones, and your home. So when you get that card in hand of healing, there's definitely is more cords to be cut, too, as well.
Mm.
It's almost like the ideal of sitting down and going over things in your head and actually talking to every aspect of your being and making sure that you have cut everything loose in favor of what's coming up, because you do definitely get a lot of changes here, because the next card came out was actually Archangel Shamuel, which is actually the angel of relationships and love.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that one says I'm helping you with your spiritual soulmate relationship, but it's also the idea of working with you too first before that can actually unfold the way you want it to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're taking a breather. Okay. So you say you're calling from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just sitting here looking at the situation where I was picking up almost like a Boston connection.
Interesting.
But you're not in Boston. So where would the connection come from? And the idea of being connected to Boston?
Boston. No, have no connections with Boston.
It's almost like you get the impression of a lot of, like a two past lives are popping through. We have a connection with you on the East Coast of Boston, almost the lower east side of Boston. Around the year 1875. And then there's another. See, they got the connection with the situation, but there's almost like that one here descends. Oh, one step backwards, 1912. We actually get a connection with you, England, Liverpool. We get you almost like coming across the oceans. Like, I actually get a connection with you where you're actually a passenger on the Titanic.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, because you get this situation of panic attacks. Certain things that still have a tendency to hold with you to this day. Certain things that were... It's like a lot of realizations in that whole situation of even being there in the first place.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because at times I do get that sense of like I had a drowning of sorts, and I do feel very close to England. But also a lot of Europe.
Mm-hmm. So that one was really taken away when you look at the situation. And then I was looking at your cards where it's talking about relationships and that kind of stuff, of these a separation anxiety too, as well as in when you're in a relationship, since you're very fearful of being of them being taken away from you abruptly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Yes, I think I used to have that a lot, where it was just this thing of separation and, well, how can I do without the other person?
Mm-hmm. Do you ever hear Celine Dion in your head? No, I'm just kidding. But I sat there and was focusing when I saw Titanic. It was more on the line of, it's like when I saw The Passions of the Christ. People were like, how'd you feel when you saw the movie? I said, well, it was actually worse the first time. And they're like, oh, you've seen the movie before? I said, no, I had not seen the movie before that. I said, it was actually worse the first time. It's like saying, when I saw the movie, Mel Gibson did a really good job, because he did emphasize on the idea of helping people understand the pain that one person went through. Because Jesus was in human form. So whatever that human body experiences, he experienced, you know?
Yes.
So it was like one of those things where you get those kind of visions and connections and say, oh, I think I was there before, the first time it happened. And it was the same thing with when I saw Titanic. There was definitely something familiar about the whole thing, like I had seen it before.
That is so true. That's how I felt. I was actually quite blown away when I saw the Titanic. And until it came out on video, I hadn't watched it. So some friends said, well, let's get together, watch on this big screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and I couldn't believe how emotional I was at the end of it, that it pulled something out inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a healing, but at the same time, it's very interesting. It did feel very familiar.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things that you sit there and let it go. You should resonate with the feeling to see if, where it takes you. Because it could actually take you back to you know, we were talking about this before on the show, a couple of shows where we talk about these things and the process of, you know, why do we have our brain so geared to memory,
mm-hmm.
you know, unless we were actually keeping memories for many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have to think about these things. That we have all this memory. So I've actually had, when I do past life readings with people too, we actually give them dates and that kind of thing, and they go and do research.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody on there. There's no camera on. It's a radio show. So we're on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they couldn't see if they wanted to, because it's a radio show. We have nothing to tie into. That's my nephew. He thought the webcam was on, so he's like dancing in front of it. I work for this company called Aranum, and we do readings for people, but we're actually on webcam too, so you can actually see the person you're getting your reading with. So it's like psychic source with a television.
Anyway. Yeah, like.
So yeah, so we're sitting looking at your cards. It said healing, Archangel Michael, Archangel Shamuel. Also, I think it's one of those things to do some research with those angels too, as well, because it's why it's focusing is the way you asked the questions earlier is the idea of connections and what the messages were of helping you to connect with those angels.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the more you, I just feel like the more information you have makes you more familiar with them. The more familiar with them, the more you open up, and then the messages become clearer. Because I've put the two cards on top of the three, the very first card that came out was Archangel Shamuel. So that's number two. He's come up twice. And then we have Archangel Raziel. Yeah, Raziel. And it's basically talking about helping you understand spiritual truth is the ideal. Like meditation. Yeah, meditation is more of letting go, not... Some people think meditation is controlling, but meditation is actually showing you in the process of the situation to understand one thing. The more you let go, the more you really have control. Because control is an illusion.
Sure, it just comes from fear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
No. Hold on. I'm actually trying to communicate with somebody. Maybe we can get someone to come on and be a co-host. Maybe we can get them to do the chat room. Maybe they have a different kind of computer. Because for some reason, this thing would just, it's irritating, just really irritating me because it just won't do anything.
Mm-hmm. No, it's still not coming up chat line on here.
So maybe if I get someone to come on as a co-host, maybe their browser is different.
Let's see.
It's weird. Sort of
radio.
Whoa, hey, look, we're on the radio. Anyway.
Well, I tried opening in a new window to see if that helped, but it just opened the radio, but not the...
What you do is what you would do. Oh, I don't know how to do that. Actually, as far as I know, you would have access to my account. You would go in there using the password. Then you would go to where it says studio, I think. Hold on. Let's see. You go to studio. And then when you go into studio, then you'll see over to the right at the top it says promo, episode, chat. And there's a thing that says chat as a co-host. And then what you would do is go in there, click on that, and then you'd push on chat room, and they would, more than likely, chat room would pop up, and then somebody could access the whole thing. Oh, really? Let's see something here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just throwing some music in there. Just deal with it. Okay. All right, let's see if we can get... nine, what is that? Hold up. I'm losing my mind. 9. Hold up. Interesting. Okay, come on. Everything seems to be like, do we have a full moon or something? Chaotic here. My friend said she was calling in, but she says it's 910. I don't have a 910 in my freaking queue. Hello, 9. Is there an echo? Okay, let's try this one, okay? 919, can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear me?
No, we can't hear you at
Hello?
All. No, so yeah. So right now we have 910. We have 919 and 214 on the air. Okay. The reason I'm doing that, and I was sitting there, see, I'm doing this through a different avenue. I'm actually going through my Android phone because I couldn't get the computer to cooperate. So I got the switchboard to pop up, but there's nothing to click on. It just shows a little box with your numbers in it and a question mark. What usually happens when you go into the studio, you see the queue with everybody in it. It's got four boxes. You have a microphone. You got a microphone with an X through it, which means you're on hold. And the microphone, when you click on it, turns red, which means you're on the air. And then you have another one where you can actually go in to a screening room and screen you guys before you come on. And then there's an X to get rid of you. Which on my queue right now, I have nothing. All it is like a gray box with it says hold time, and I just happened to look down and notice it wasn't counting no more, which means you're not on hold. I'm like freaking out. So if 919, what's your name, sweetie?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, if you would just be patient with us, because I don't want to take anybody off hold. I want to keep everybody going. So just let me finish up with
Prim.
It's like the last time I had coffee. I filled it to the brim. Anyway.
We'll share the phone line. It's all good.
Okay. Yeah, we're trying to correct all this technology stuff to get to really things working where it just... Because I got a laptop.
Mercury is in retrograde, so...
Oh, that's probably what it is. We always have communicational problems. I like the idea of Mercury, too, because it seems like in this kind of chaos of having trouble with technology and that kind of stuff, people who haven't communicated with each other have a tendency to communicate.
That's exactly it. So it does serve a purpose. It does have its good side.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a sign for me, I think. It would be great to hear from someone right now. So I picture it in my mind, and then it's like a. Let's use it. Like you tell people, go, okay, you want to do a real good visual? If you want someone to call you, then picture them picking up the phone and actually dialing the number. Hear the beep, 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 beep. Line's busy. What? Okay, that's a picture. But please. My friend, if she can hear me out there, she's actually communicating me. I'm having trouble communicating myself. We're communicating Skype. And I'm trying to correct things and see what happens. Which is driving me crazy. We got to stay positive, right? So we can't build ourselves to be fed into the whole thing of saying, nothing's working. That's just reaffirming, right? Definitely don't want to do that. Okay. With you, Prim, when I was looking up the situation, the two cards that came up was peace and spiritual understanding. I just want you to Archangel Shamuel. But the other one also was beloved one, which means Shamuel is helping you with the situation of focusing on that. But you get the ideal is clarification. And what I mean by clarification in your relationship, it's the ideal sitting down and go, okay, in the process of the relationship, of course, we want happiness, joy, you know, sensual. When we want to be sensual, sexual, respectful, committed, connected, those kind of things. But when we say clarify and get down to the nitty gritty, it's the ideal of what we were using the other day as an example. Say you're a person who likes oral sex, so therefore this is important to you in a relationship, so therefore you would focus on how you like to have that happen. What do you mean? Not like how it happens, but it's like you have a certain preference, you have a certain thing where you would want your partner to do some things. So what you do is you would focus and emphasize on those in your visualizations. And then say that you are a touchy-feely person and you like that kind of thing. Therefore, you would want to be with somebody who also does the same thing too as well. So you know for a fact that you'd be in someone's arms at the same time because that's who you are too as well. Are you down to the point of person, if you like to be a person who makes out for 2 hours, these are important things to you. Even to the point of, I always tell people, get nitty gritty, down to the point of saying, okay, we're together. Because I told a first person, if you're a person who wants to simplify things, after you've already got into the description of exactly what you want, like you're writing a journal and you just want to be on some days, you just want to write it down, be direct, but quick. You could put down just saying, I always tell people put things in the past tense where you say, I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm with this person and we're married. And people think, well, that's kind of jumping the gun because you're not with that person yet. But see, in the process of focusing on the outcome, everything in between would fall into place so that would happen. See, actually, a lot of things that I've actually studied, and even a point I agree to, that it's none of our business what happens in the process of getting to the outcome. It's our job to focus on the outcome because that's what we want. Because that's in the process of the outcome happening. Once it does fall into, place, then if we're already in the process of enjoying and living our lives and living those things instead of wondering what's going to happen tomorrow, then when it does happen, we're already in that mode of going with the flow so the thing continues.
That is very true. And the energy toward saying I am is making it whole and present and into motion, as opposed to I long for or I desire, because it puts it outside the circle as something you're still searching for. And so it cannot exist yet.
Yes, exactly. And also, you know, so there we take the thing one step further, we put your final card on the top, and it's basically saying harmony. So it's basically what it's, the message that comes across so clearly is the idea of understanding that you are going with the flow, you're going forward. So therefore, the idea of opening up, the one thing you need to do, and almost like the message is, the only thing you need to really practice is saying another thing that I put in my journal too as well, is I'm open to receive. And also doing a life review and asking myself if I'm in the situation where I want a significant other, even in the process of waiting for a significant other, it's the idea of looking at the situation and looking at the outcome we're getting. And if we're not getting anything in the process of the situation, ask yourself, is there any kind of urgency with you? Because it actually might be more spurred with fear than it is actually having to do something. Because I've actually had a lot of readings where I've talked to women particularly where, ooh, I just saw an ex today, what should I do? What makes you think you should do anything?
Correct. You know,
it's the idea of sitting back and look at the situation and ask yourself, okay, what was you thinking at the time these things are happening or even prior to that? Because we always say what you were thinking about yesterday manifested today. So therefore, we want to make a different tomorrow. Get rid of the sorrow. So we sit here and look at the situation and say, I'm going to be happy, happy, happy. I'm a happy, happy person. There's nothing wrong with that either, man. There's not. Because I have talked to several people that when you take those miseries away, it's the only foundation they have. That's why they hang on to it so tightly. They don't realize you can actually reestablish your foundation with some really more stable stuff. But I'm just saying what the situation with you is, the idea of harmony. Look, you look at the cards, okay? If you sit there looking up yourself, you'll see harmony. And the cards that you see, that's how we do this, the cards that you see will be harmony. On the right side, it's harmony, spiritual understanding, and beloved one. The idea of realizing that, the idea of focusing just on harmony itself, there's a spiritual understanding that comes along with that. And the process of understanding, this is when all the things that we've been focusing on in the first place come into play. Then you look on the left side, it says harmony, peace, and healing. And these are the contributing factors to get the other part. So we have, most people look on this other side more in a spiritual, physical sense, and then on the right side, it's actually more the relationship itself, but it's also a mixture of spirituality. So you can already sense a sense of balance there already. And then you have the other side, it's like continuing to look at the situation and remembering one thing. Love is the key to peace, is the ideal of love. Love is real. So therefore, to have that love, that kind of love, you also have to understand that you're real too as well. And the process of realism, you realize that you are deserving of all the things you're asking for, because it seems like in some sense of the word you don't think there's some days you question the idea of do I deserve to have these things, and it seems like it sparks on the ideal of the past. So you understand now we understand why it's so important for us to let go of the past.
Yes.
Shut up! You have a tendency to bark at the craziest thing, and today is not the day, okay? Relax. And she does it all the time. She barks. She'll bark at more familiar people than she will at strangers. I said, you're a lousy guard dog because you bark at the wrong people. So we look at your reading. Threes is the key, too. It's like three is a very significant number with you.
Yeah. My favorite number is three.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you should definitely look at the idea of 1875 and do some research with that. And also, there's a catch, like I said before, 1912. There's a connection to Titanic. I know it's in there somewhere. And you get those familiarities. I just feel like the idea of doing the research and actually looking up those dates and whatever you feel like you're guided to do will fill in the blanks that you're looking for. But it also seems like it's also going to enhance a lot of things, too.
Mm-hmm.
As in motivation to do what you know you need to do.
Uh-huh.
That makes sense, don't it?
Yeah.
And sometimes we get these visions and you start laughing. It's because of the visions we see with people. It's like helping people understand. A lot of us have visualizations and certain things we think about. Even the process, like before, like the dog. You know, sometimes we imagine ourselves shooting the dog. But I think the difference between crazy people and sane people is the sane person wouldn't shoot the dog. They just, you know, they see the vision in their head, and the person who shoots the dog, it depends what mood you're in that day, it might be a good thing. But normally what we do with visualizations, it's okay to think these things, just as long as we don't take it to the next step to bring them to reality. But when you look at, it's also a way of helping you to realize how manifestations work too, that you can take the same kind of visualization and just, there are certain manifestations or certain visualizations that you do want to bring into the physical world. Because we do it all the time. I want to think about that because it might happen. So so replace it to a positive thought and say, I want to think about that. So, you know, what a man thinks about brings about. We've all seen The Secret, right?
Correct.
And one thing I was kind of having a problem with was some of the people who keep talking about The Secret. They say The Secret leaves one thing out, the feeling. You have to feel it, but I've actually seen The Secret many, many, many times, and I see that they do emphasize on feeling, that you have to feel it.
I totally agree. That's something they really emphasize on. If you're not feeling it, then you're not bringing it to life.
Yeah. Because we were talking about the other day, I was center focusing on the same thing, which helping people understand visualizations as in feeling, like we were talking about before, being detailed. And we usually have a tendency to get more detailed in the process of actually focusing on those emotions and feelings and stuff like that. When, for example, okay, while I was sitting there focusing, I was focusing on a meditation. Me and a girl that I would love to be back with right now is sitting there meditating and actually getting very detailed, and my angels are guiding me through the whole thing of saying, when you do visualizations, make sure if it's somebody you want to be with, then you see them through your eyes. You don't see yourself with them, because that means you're an observer and you're not a part of it. So we have to change that. So in the process of listening, our guidance, we change that. And then in the process, it's amazing, too, when you sit there and listen to a little bit of just simple little things when you change things, right?
Yeah.
And then when you do that, everything becomes so clear. Because I remember that, because I sit there and said, okay, now I see her. Now I need to help her up. And what's so funny, too, about the situation, the visual, I didn't realize, why am I helping her up? She can get up herself. It wasn't until I actually helped her up that... It's almost like your angels are guiding you through the visualization where you're touching somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Which we wouldn't probably do, which if we were in that situation, that's what we would be doing. And then as I'm helping her up, I realize she's pregnant. Then you sit there and go, oh, okay, now then all of a sudden you get this emotion where you see the stomach, you can feel the warmth of her skin. And then there's all these other things that come into play. As in the process of picking someone up and hugging them. So you start feeling these things. All of a sudden you get caught, consumed with it, because now you think you're living it. Now you need to let yourself go, because you will be. So we sit here and look at the idea, how can you get harmony in your life in the process of, say, you are connected with somebody. That can actually mm-hmm. stand in the way sometimes, because you are so connected with each other that we have mm-hmm. to detach. We have to detach from situations and relationships and stuff to, so they can actually unfold naturally. So how do we do that?
Hello?
So I think we stumped her. Anyway.
Well, it's true. With attachments, but with anything and even anybody, once you let go of attachments, you're letting go of expectations too. So then you leave it open to a better outcome, whether it's something the way you want it to go or not, it will be the best outcome.
Exactly. So there's another chance that you can do is putting, it's like putting it in your mind as at that moment so firmly that you don't care if it happens or not, because you know it's going to. You just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell you, you can use Archangel Michael and whatever Archangel you're actually gravitated to work with to keep those attachments down, because sometimes we do have a tendency to look at the situation, but I just get this impression with Archangel Michael of being the one main angel that was Archangel in here, that was definitely a clarification of actually using it as a visualization of just asking Archangel Michael to cut cords. And to, I did this the other day where it was just like, okay, I've made my declaration. I've affirmed it to the universe. These are the things that, these are my desires. But I wanted to take it out of the, I wanted to take it out of the frame of saying, I want these things. Because
mm-hmm.
I felt like in the process of wanting, you're still in that, you're sending out the energy that you wanted.
Right.
You're wanting. Yeah, you don't have it. But and you're mm-hmm. and that's kind of a working against you, because you're saying, I've heard people say this too, one day it'll happen. No. That constantly, people have a tendency to either put it in the past or put it in the future. They have uh-huh. a hard time putting it in the now. So
okay.
that's why I remember this before when I used to do this a long time ago with some things I'd gotten away from. These things all of a sudden they came to the forefront and said, I'm so happy and grateful. Now that this person is called. And you can, like I said before, you can simplify it. Now that this person is, we have communicated, and now we're together, experiencing this happy, joyous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it worked out just the way it was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We use relationships, because it seems like relationships right now are the most important things, because of the holidays and that kind of thing too. You don't see people out there going, I just love to hug a Mustang. No, you don't hear these things. You know, I want
that was quite a visual.
Yeah, I'm hugging the hell out of this, you know. But well, good. Is it red? I hope so. Anyway, I was sitting there going over the whole thing, and the message for you is to just do what you're doing right now. You're doing a fantastic job of letting go and just enjoying the moment.
Yeah,
that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
You're a lovely woman. So you say you're originally from Texas?
Well, no. I mean, I lived in Austin for about 10 years, and I moved to Dallas about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in Southeast Asia and lived in Bonny Island in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because I'm sitting there going, she doesn't sound like she's from Texas, does she?
Yeah, it's so Texan, isn't it?
I got the, so it was like listening to it's like the, I watched this movie called The Backup Plan with J-Lo in it, and there's this guy in there who's actually from Australia, and it's kind of amazing when you sit and watch the movie, he doesn't have an Australia accent in the movie. He's American from New York, and all of a sudden they have it after, you know, you watch the extra credits, or not the extra credit,
mm-hmm.
the extra whatever. And you know, talking about the extras.
Yeah.
And you go mm-hmm. in there, next thing the guy's got this Australian accent. It kind of knocks you back a little bit, going, he's not from New York. So
yeah, no, I know the movie you're talking about, yes. Because I know that accent. I was like, wow, he did a really good job, but I know he's not. He's in Aussie.
Oh, yeah. We used to joke about that. I used to play music. I used to be a lead singer in a rock and roll band. And I said,
mm-hmm.
we had this one guy used to say this all the time. He said, you have these bands that came from England, and they would come here,
mm-hmm.
and they sang like, you know, they sang back in the day.
Without an accent?
Well, back in the day, they, you know, the Beatles and everybody, they did sing with an accent.
Oh,
but
yes,
you're right.
Yes.
But after that, when we got into the 70s and stuff, we started realizing that the British invasion was still going on. They just wasn't sounding like the Brit from British. They were actually sounding like Americans. So
mm-hmm.
they said, wouldn't it be great if Americans would do the same thing to them? What we would do is, you know, what they're thinking, they think they're actually, they talk to us. We'll talk
mm-hmm.
just like this. And as soon as the music starts, we start singing like a British band. Let's turn the table on these people and go, okay.
Why not?
You know, you don't like Americans, but you want to sound like Americans? Come on. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying there's some people who don't. And we know that for a fact.
Yeah.
We're not going to group everybody. We don't want to group everybody in the same thing. And so, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to group you. It was okay. So I was freaking out because I tried to call Skype earlier, too, through my Skype to call Blog Talk Radio. And it said, you need credits. I'm like, but isn't that like Skype to Skype, I thought?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, someone said Mercury went retrograde. I'm like, oh, I'm tired of this. Let's get some missiles and get rid of Mercury. What do you say? Anyway, it's just a thought, okay? Are we being negative today? No, we're just stating a fact, something we don't like, we want to get rid of. Seriously, there is a difference between judgmental and stating a fact. I always tell people judgmental means you just walk into a situation and you read it on the surface. You don't really know what you're talking about. You just read what you see on the surface and you judge it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk into a situation, you've done your research and you come in and you come up with the same analysis, it's still different because you have fact backing
mm-hmm.
up. So you know exactly what's going on. You know, with the situation, you know, when the one thing I still get with you and the idea, because I want to go on to the other callers, but it just seems like with the situation with you, there's that focus on a significant other as wanting to share your life. But you want to get your life squared away first before you start sharing.
True.
That's another message I definitely get through. It's okay to share with everybody in the now, in the process of what you're doing, because in the process of actually crossing paths with one you want to, who you want to be with,
mm-hmm.
it comes through those. It comes. I can't take a deep breath. It comes through
mm-hmm.
socializing
mm-hmm.
and being yourself. You know, you're a very powerful personality, but that's a good thing. It shows a lot
yeah.
of confidence in who you know who you are. When's your birthday, sweetie?
August 30th.
August 30th. Oh, okay. It's another Earth sign, Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
my sister, she's on August 26th.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, I say, I recognize Earth signs. I'm one, too. I'm actually Taurus. But I told a friend of mine, I was like, I do not get along with Virgos. And I said, maybe I should rephrase that. I said, so far, I haven't gotten along with Virgo, but my sister, she's a Virgo, and I'm the oldest, and she's the youngest, and we do get along.
Right.
I wish she'd call more, so if you're listening, I wish you'd call more. Anyway, no, seriously, I call her all the freaking time. It's like, I call you, hello, and then one time she did this, I'll call you back in a minute. 2 months later, and I said, wow, that's a good thing I didn't stay on hold. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I said, hold on, I'll call you back in a minute. And I sit there and go, okay, that was 2 months ago. She goes, it wasn't that long. You're right, it was 2 weeks. That's still a long time.
Well, with Taurus, I wouldn't say that Taurus and Virgo, I know, because a good friend of mine, she's a Taurus, and they get on very well, actually. It's just that...
Oh, yeah,
Taurus can be
great.
A little overpowering for Virgos because they're very go, go, go.
Mm-hmm.
And Virgos tend to be like, I've got a butterfly to fly and sit on a tree and just observe and enjoy. And the Taurus likes to go, go, go. It's like, well, okay. Hang on.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but okay. Anyway, hey, no, seriously, it's the idea. We also have to put these things in perspective of individuality, too, because there are Tauruses who go, go, go. My brother is just like, you got to do certain things. You got to do this. You know, put things in perspective. I got to put it out there. This is the way I do things. I'm headstrong. I'm stubborn. I know what's going on. Excuse me. But sometimes with situations, you got to look at the variations. Because if you ever studied astrology, you also have two types of Tauruses. You have an April Taurus and a May Taurus. And usually your go-go-go people are the Mays.
Mm-hmm.
And they usually have a tendency to justify their actions, too, even when they know they've messed up. They can't admit to the idea of being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got your Virgos. I was married to a Virgo for 10 years, and she was the most prissiest, picky woman I've ever met in my life.
be once they see it and they work towards making changes. I used to be extremely anal about how things were, where everything was, and it's clean, and
there she is.
Everything has a home. Until I realized, you know what, this mm-hmm. is way too much effort and too much energy. I'm just going to play, and if it's messy, it's great. So
exactly.
I totally looked at it and changed it, so, yeah.
And then there was another one. I'm not sure exactly when she was born, but when I had my first shop in Colorado, I was partner with a lady who was a Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was just the ideal, the two Virgos and some of the Virgos I've dealt with, but that one always was constantly trying to rip me off. And then my ex-wife, I think she actually tried to kill me a couple of times by poisoning me, where they were looking for quick results, quick solutions, without actually going through the ideal that there was an easier way to go through than doing what they were doing and wasn't thinking about the consequences. All they were thinking about was a quick fix, you know. I need freedom. I was killing, you know. The other person, I need money because she was having financial problems, not realizing the financial problem. I mean, if you look at both situations, like with my ex-wife, like, okay, we look at the thing and go, okay, I told her. You know, I know what's going on. I know what's happened, all these other things. I said, but am I going to dwell on that? No, it's like really looking at people and going, okay, I understand why you did it. Doesn't mean I condone it. You're just understanding. To the point where
correct.
You look at the solution here is the one person needed to communicate more, which is my ex-wife, is saying, I don't want this anymore. I went out.
Mm-hmm.
She used the excuse. Yeah, reason I did what I did and didn't tell you, that kind of thing, and just basically just took off is because I didn't think you would do that. I didn't think you would understand. See, she's thinking, I don't think you do this. I don't think that, think.
Mm-hmm.
If I told her flat out, if I would have knew what I know now, they would have been, mm-hmm. hey, goodbye, I'll see you later. Adios, amigo. And then the other person, the Lonnie person, I'm having financial problems. Is the solution to take money from me? No, the solution is asking yourself, I believe firmly in people who have, sometimes you don't have to go looking for another place or another thing to do. Sometimes you have to have more faith in yourself. It's actually
mm-hmm.
like the flow of what you need to come in because you're like, oh, she's very gifted. Well, why is she having financial problems? And she was a person who was constantly looking for ways to take things from people.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a fear. It's based on a fear. Both of these things were based on fear. One was scared that she wouldn't get the answer that she was hoping to get, and the other person is looking and being fearful because she's scared to death that she does go down the right path. That she won't have these things, and she wants these things. She doesn't realize that's an illusion. So everybody's out there going, where is this going? It's the ideal of helping people understand what you're going through in the process of things changing and letting go of things, which is more likely fears, and how important it is to let go of fears because it puts you in situations and consequences that can be so drastic to your life to actually send it down a path that you don't want to go down to, but you have to realize that if you're not willing to let go of those fears, it's still
mm-hmm.
your fault.
Mm-hmm.
People go, you shouldn't use the word fault. I said, yes, you should.
Right. It's very
tell people. I'm just saying, I want to tell people like this. All those bad things that happened in your life, they were your fault. But, here's the catcher, all those great things you did, that was your fault too. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, we'll find the positive outcome here. I'm just saying with the situation, we try to divert those things. And so, okay, here we go. We're going down the road. I mean, I read a poem on the show, I think last week, where I was showing everybody, it was a poem about why. It was about mad. And I said, if you sit here and listen to the poem, it says, why did you do this? Why did you do that? When we get ourselves into those kind of why things, if you notice, the poem doesn't really have an ending. Because when we get into that kind of realm, it don't.
Yeah.
It's trying to tell you at that moment, if you're focusing on why, you're not focusing on the present.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the past. And here you are trying to change the future, which you're still hanging on to the past. So you need to cut loose.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So what you're, I'm just saying, with the situation, the messages that are coming through to you so clearly, it's saying just that. You're going in the right direction.
Okay.
But you need to let go and just let it happen. What the hell happened here? I'm sorry. Anyway, I'm just kind of crazy when I sit here and look at this switchboard, and there's no button. It's just keep pushing until someone comes on. There's no, they're not on hold anymore.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, sweetie, I mean, I just want to make sure we've actually topped on everything to make sure that
yes.
You don't have any. La, 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 la. Yes, I can hear you, Skype. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to reading this.
I guess just one more thing to do with my ex-father-in-law.
You know something? What's the situation with the things you're talking about your ex-father-in-law? I don't know what. Mm-hmm. There's a little twist to that whole thing or whatever, but it just seemed like that was funny. That it's something that this person, this ex-father-in-law, has a certain effect over you. I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off. It just hit me so abruptly. So go right ahead. Sorry.
I never met him, but his name's Jack, and I would speak to him in spirit, because when he passed away, my ex-husband, you know, he missed him a lot, so I would talk to Jack and say, hey, you know, come and comfort him, because he misses you, and all that stuff, but I've been feeling his presence lately, and just wanted to know if he had something to say.
So you're sort of saying that when you were married to your husband, and this is Jack's, Jack's the father-in-law,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I was just making sure I heard this right. You said you never met the guy.
No, I never met him. He had already passed.
Because when I sat here and focused on the situation, it was kind of wild to sit here and look at the thing and go, okay, this is kind of incredible. Because you really get a really strong connection where he was very fond of you.
Yes, it feels that way, yeah. Like he really, it was like he wasn't there, but I always felt like he was very happy that I was with his son.
Yeah, because he said his son needs all the guidance he can get. Anyway.
Oh, all of it. And the horse.
But you should look at the situation, and the one thing you get here with him is the ideal that it seems like you would connect with him more in a kitchen setting than you would anything else. I don't know why. Yes. I'm just saying with the situation, it's like, yeah, he is with you, he's communicating with you, but it's not the simple, what is he trying to tell you? It's the ideal of constantly talking to you, so it's a communion. Of opening up a line of dialect to him and say, okay. And it just seems like that would happen more in your kitchen. Right. I don't know, the connection with him in the kitchen and, you know, that kind of thing. Not saying you would feel him through your whole house, but it just seems like the kitchen is the one. Sometimes when you get these kind of situations, some people have certain connections with the house itself.
Yes.
It can fall into a category as like a vortex or something, or gateway or something, where your community comes through there.
Yes.
I'm so tired now.
Oh.
So, but you know, like I said before, I was trying to pick up on the whole thing. I was sitting there going, okay, this is kind of incredible, because the guy's saying he's very fond of you. He's actually more fond of you than he was his own son. But I had to clarify that you sit there and said that you had never met the guy before, so I had to get that.
Yeah.
I've seen it before. I've actually had connections with people who say, well, I feel like your grandmother's very connected to you. She's almost got her hands on your shoulders, and she's really helping you. And then people go, well, my grandmother died when I was 2 years old.
Mm.
I said, well, maybe so. But, you know, the ideal death is the ideal transition. Now she's in the spirit, so therefore she didn't go anywhere. And to the point of looking at this situation of having that kind of connection, you know, we do have a lot of protective grandmothers and parents, grandparents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it made perfect sense to me, and I just told her flat out, hey, you know something? It's there. The connection's there. You feel it. You're getting a confirmation for it. So just sit there and try to justify the situation of saying, well, you know, she died when I was two.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean she couldn't have been there when you were born.
Right.
There's still that connection with your mother. A really strong connection when you're having birth, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's how it goes, yeah.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Well, awesome.
If you get a chance, I would love to sit down and do a private session with you to go over more of those past lives, and mm-hmm. also sit down and do a 7-card angel reading. Because you'll go on the site, you'll see where it says angel card reading and tarot card readings. And I should change that, because right now I've been focusing more on, usually when situations like this happen, I focus more on the direction. And
right.
I've been basically led away from tarot cards in the process of working with angel cards. And I have another deck. This deck here is the Archangel deck and the Healing with the Angels deck. I put them together as one big deck. And then I have Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael, and I combined those two as a deck. So when you call, you will, when you get a session, you won't get an angel. You'll get an angel card reading, but you won't get a tarot card reading. What you'll get is the Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. So what it is, it's your life reading, and then we do the cards with Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael. We do a healing reading, and we give you the insights to those things and all the things you need to do with work with that. So.
Yeah.
That was kind of lengthy, but I was just saying you need to look in that whole situation, and we sit down and do a session. I would love to do one with you.
Yeah. Okay.
If you want to, we do this thing on Skype where we can actually. Some people like to do readings and that kind of stuff and get their friends together. They feel more relaxed that way. So therefore, you know, it's almost like people like, you do parties. Well, yeah, sure. But there's many variations now if you want to do that. I'm just saying, just get your friends together, whatever, or however you want to do it.
Right.
And we'll sit down and do one.
Okay.
So you can either contact me after the show or whenever's convenient for you. But I'm sorry, I keep cutting everybody off. So sorry. But you got to scoot. You got to go. But
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
I'm just saying, before you go to sleep, before you go to bed, I want you to at least meditate for 10 or 15 minutes in the process. Just reaffirming a connection with yourself, okay? It's a simple meditation where you just sit down, cross your legs, bow your head, focus on the space behind your heart. Try to picture a blue aqua plasma, as in the God essence, okay? In the process of connecting with yourself, you're reconnecting. I always say reconnecting, connecting, because it's like an illusion. What you're actually doing is you're reaffirming yourself with a connection you've always had. It's just you think you don't have. So when you focus on there, and as you're focusing, say to yourself, you can either say it out loud, you know, gently, or you can say it to yourself. You just say, I am love. And I always tell people and caution them and say, okay, I've done this. When I first started doing this, to say, I am love. Or you can say, I love, I love, I love. You'll definitely feel a vibration. And you'll definitely feel it going up. I mean, I knew for me to actually do 5 minutes, it took me a while to get to that point because it was overwhelming. And it's a very powerful feeling, but it's a very powerful, loving feeling. So you can definitely feel the connection. But I knew once that vibration started going up, some of the things I was kind of questioning, I wasn't too sure about, the answers started becoming more clear.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just reaffirming and clearing that line again. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely, it does.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope we've helped you out.
Yes, much, much gratitude. Thank you so much.
Have fun in Texas, but I feel like you're going to be moving soon.
I get that feeling, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. After the first of the year, you'll definitely get that feeling a lot. And also the situation when we was talking about before, another technique you should practice is putting your hands and your arms straight out in front of you with your palms together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, palms together. Not the back of your hand, but your palms. Yeah, I got it right, didn't I? You take your palms, stick them out in front of you. As you're opening your arms up, you'll open them up they're parallel with you, okay?
Uh-huh.
As you're doing that, open your arms. As you're opening your arms up, say, I am open to receive. I'm open to receive. Practice that for like 5 minutes in the morning. And come in. With anything else that you're doing, that kind of stuff. I think it would really help out, okay?
Yes, definitely will do.
All right.
Thank you. Much blessings.
You too. Thank you. And thank you for the call. And I look
thanks
forward
everybody. To everybody. Call in.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here, because, I mean, you really threw me off for a while, because she's got this accent. I can definitely pick it up. And then Texas, it's just, you know.
Of course, Texas and a weird accent. It's Texas, y'all. Come on.
I never thought about that one. makes a lot of sense.
But, all right, I shall speak to you soon.
All right, you have a great night. Thank you again for
Thank
calling
you.
In. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.
Good night. Let's see here. Oh, great.
You found me on?
Yes, I'm just trying to figure. Okay. You're Rebecca or Rachel?
Rebecca.
Rebecca. So, Rebecca, 919, where are you calling from?
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy because my other friend, 910,
yeah.
She's in North Carolina too. Do you know her?
I don't know, but I'm assuming she probably lives to the east of me.
Okay. Well, you're not right. 919. I was actually looking up your number in my number book here, and it says, "Yeah, you're in North Carolina." No, just kidding. she's telling me now that she's south of you.
South. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm in Fayetteville. She's in Fayetteville.
Yep, not too far.
Right. It says here 919 says, devote your entire focus towards serving a spiritual purpose through your career.
Oh.
Okay. That really focuses. I mean, I'm just saying, when I sit here and do these things, you can feel in some sense the word, it resonates with you in some way. Whoa. So I was trying to figure, I wanted to bring my friend on too. So just hold on. This thing is so freaking weird. And we're trying to get things to work. There we go. Okay. Oh, shoot. That went blank. can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You know something?
I can hear both of you.
Hey, there
Great.
We go.
That's what I wanted to do. Because I was wanted to bring... Oh, shoot. What is your name?
My name?
Rebecca.
No, I know you, Rebecca. I'm my friend.
Okay,
friend.
Wait a minute. Seriously, you don't remember my name. Okay, I'll
just
leave you hanging.
I just went blank, man. I was like, Lori.
Yes. I was going to say, I was just going to leave you hanging. Can't remember my name. You're funny. It's okay.
Oh,
you had a brain fart is what I call those.
I don't, because it sounds disgusting. But
I know it, but still, it's funny.
No, I was sitting there focusing and saying, okay, Rebecca, the reason I wanted to bring her on, because me and her both would be writing for the same magazine. And I was like, I just wanted to give everybody some insights to this whole thing. So I was like, I'm just thrown off by the switchboard, because every time I look down at it, there's no buttons to push. I just got to keep hitting the screen until it does something. And the only way I know that you're no longer on hold, because it goes to zero.
Oh, okay.
As long as you're on hold, it tells me how long you've been on hold. And we actually want to get to 5. We actually want to get to 956 here too, because she's been on the line for 52 minutes.
Oh my
anyway,
goodness.
Yeah, but we'll get to everybody. I tell everybody out there, it's like this. I've actually been I stay on the air an hour after the show is over with to get to everybody's questions. So don't worry about not getting those questions answered. So hang on there. So Rebecca, you're in from North Carolina, which is kind of funny because it's one of those things that we have two people on the line right now, Lori and Ruth. Rebecca, both from North Carolina.
Yeah,
but I'm a newbie. I'm a transplant.
Yeah, she's from everywhere, and she finally went to North Carolina.
I plan on staying here, though.
Yeah.
So she's got this mentality of focusing like she's an oak. Now she's willing to sit down some roots. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you sit
That's
there.
That's what
and
I did here.
So, Rebecca, where are you from originally?
California, but I've been here for quite a while.
I was thinking to myself, why'd she have to think about that? Where are you originally from? I can't remember. Okay. So
I've been here for a good while.
I've been to California 3 times, and it's unforgettable. So I'm not originally from Ohio. I mean, I am originally from Ohio. It's California. So with the situation, Lori, I'm sorry, I didn't mean, it wasn't one of the things I meant to forget your name. It's just that there's been so much things going on tonight. The computer wouldn't do what I wanted to do, so I'll switch from there. So now I'm doing Skype through the computer.
Well, I was beginning to wonder if maybe I just wasn't meant to be on.
No, it was everything happening, so we can't say that. Mm-hmm. If that was the case, I wouldn't be here either.
Well, so you know what I mean.
And then, so then I went to the phone to use my Android to do the switchboard, and then it started giving me things saying, "Well, your phone's not made for this format." I'm like, "Well, last night it was. What happened?" And then we were informed that Mercury just went retrograde, so I don't need that. I don't think I want to even focus on that anymore either. So,
yeah, Rebecca was having problems on a radio show the other day too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lori, you're going to be doing on the magazine. The magazine is called, I just want to make sure this whole thing, you should know this, right?
Bellaspree.
Bellaspree magazine, right?
Yes, very beautiful. A lot of energy behind it, and as soon as I heard it, I knew this thing is going to go a long way. Got
so
someone like Belle behind it, and she's a very beautiful person. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, and you're going to be doing what on this magazine?
Life lessons.
Life lessons.
Yeah. Based off of my life. All the lessons that I've learned through my life, yeah. Crazy, but I can't believe I'm actually doing it. It just kind of fell in my lap, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with it, yep. Especially with now what my experiences that actually brought me here to North Carolina.
Yeah, you should definitely write that one.
Well, that's all about letting go. That's my first one.
Let go.
Letting go.
You use the word, too. People say, well, how do you do that? I said, well, let's follow the word. Let. And then let's take go and make the O's go forever. No. It's that easy.
Because once you let go, officially let go, it's funny how things just fall into place and don't even have to try. And as long as you're open to receiving the information that's given to you, when your guidance is right there, I'm telling you, and trusting. Letting go and trusting. That's the big thing right there. And just going with it.
So what's the big thing? I'm going to ask Rebecca.
Letting go and... Oh, well.
No, I'm going to ask... No, I was just saying, Rebecca had been sitting there waiting for a while herself. And well, I was going to say was... One thing I wanted to say real quick, and then I'm going to ask Rebecca, please, we want to answer her questions, and want to get into her situation too as well. But do you find it hard to actually put this stuff down? Well, you're sitting there going, okay, I got it in my head. I know what I want to write. I can do this column. I can do two pages, no big deal. Then when you sit down and sit at the computer, go, okay. And then everything kind of like comes to a screeching halt for a minute.
I haven't got to that part yet. That's my deal, too.
Yeah, because I was sitting today going, I got it. I know exactly what to do. I just do like I do. And I was sitting going, because it's an informative magazine. It's the idea of expressing. And somebody asked me the other day, said, are you doing a column that actually reflects your talents? And I was sitting there and said, I'm doing a column on relationships. And she goes, oh, yeah, you got it. But I'm sitting there going, okay, I got it. And I understand the situation. I've actually sat back and listened to myself when I do readings, and I work with people and that kind of stuff, how everything just flows, which kind of baffles me when I get to the part of actually doing the physical writing part. We sit there and ask ourselves, and that's why I was bringing it up, because I don't know. It seems to reflect with Rebecca. That's why I keep feeling. That's why I feel like I need to bring it up. Is the ideal that what you said too? Is the ideal just let go and go with the flow and see what comes out of the paper, or in this format, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's usually two ways to go. A block in a situation like this would probably be more like two things: scared of success and scared of failing.
You know what? I think maybe that's why I haven't. It's funny you said that, because I haven't got myself yet to sit down and start, and I need to do it like yesterday.
Yeah,
this
the 14th is coming up quick.
This is a whole new realm. Yeah, I know. This is a whole new realm for me.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is, today, that's what I got about that fear of failure. And I need to just start charging forward. And I know once I pick that pencil up and start writing, it's mm-hmm. going to flow, because every time I write in my journal, It's probably freaking, five, 6 pages long, whatever. So, you know, I just need to do it.
It's like you slipped on a piece of banana as you're writing.
Yeah, it just keeps running. Yeah.
Keep running. So,
yeah.
Rebecca, with all the things going on in your life right now, doesn't it reflect with you somehow in some way with certain things you're trying to do too, as well as letting go and certain fears that you're facing right now?
Yeah, probably.
See? As in the answer to the question, it kind of dictates to everybody that the answer is yes. But she says, I think so. So therefore, we look at the situation of Rebecca just for 1 minute and say, okay, Rebecca, you need to stop thinking so much. You need to get back to where you used to be when you were younger.
Oh, my God, I keep hearing that one a lot. So I'm thinking it reflects a lot of people probably.
Yeah, she needs to get back the way she was when she was younger. Remember when we were younger and we were like, you know, embarking on the world? We were very emotional.
No,
but we're also very passionate, and we didn't care. We had these certain things. We had these wants and needs and desires, and we just had this goal, and we're going to go out and conquer all these things. And somewhere along the line, we went through certain things that have a tendency to, you might want to use the word taint us, and we kind of like slowed our little pace down a little bit, wondering, okay, a lot of things are deserving. And I was sort of thinking the same thing, but I don't think it's the idea of fear of failing. I think it's the idea of actually being fearful of, because I mean, we put a lot of factors into the equation too to get the picture. I'm pretty sure you've been there too before too. I just feel like Lori and Rebecca have had these situations where people have told you how great you are, and you have a tough time conceiving that.
Yeah, I can see that because I'm quite humble about. Yep, I can definitely see that.
Yeah. So does it resonate with you, Rebecca? Rebecca, okay. I'm stuck on the R's. I don't know what it is. Rebecca, if you have a question, you can ask your question. I'm just saying that there's some things that are coming through, and like we've had a lot of people come on the show and comment about saying that when the information was coming through, they never got a chance to get on the show to ask the question because they already got it answered. So we're sitting, you know, it's like I was saying with you. It's like if you have a specific question, it's like we're not trying to go around that. I would definitely answer that question for you. But I'm just saying, that seemed like something that did resonate with you in some sense of the word. Because you do that, you use that phrase quite a bit. I think so. And I just look at that as someone who's still in a process of really thinking things through. I just feel like you have this sense that you want to sit down and I want to feel and really know what I need to do. So what's going on with the situation in your life right now?
This evening, I found out some information that was really upsetting and about my relationship. And I've been with him for quite a while, and it's been difficult, but
Let me ask you a question.
I'm supposed to be with him.
Okay. Well, is there a certain urgency that when you say I need to be with him, that comes along with that statement? Because you're sitting, you know, it's like I need to be with him. But but in the first part of what you're saying, you were sort of talking about we've been together for so long, as in you're using that as justification of why you should continue to go through what you're going through. I just feel like you need to take a deep breath. Take three deep breaths. Just relax, okay? That water's driving me crazy because it makes me want to go to the bathroom.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I didn't realize you could hear it that bad. Sorry.
Yeah, we're having trouble with a connection. It's like like a radio. I'm like, oh, no, that's water. I like.
Yes, my bad.
I knew I should have gone before we got on the air, but. But no, Rebecca, I just want you to relax and tell yourself one thing with the situation you're in. You got some information. And when you got the information, it seems to resonate with you as in a lot of truths.
Sometimes
isn't it true?
Yeah, it was true.
I'm just saying, with the situation, we're sitting here trying to justify the ideal of keeping something continuing going. So we believe the information, we know it's the truth, but we still look at the situation, or should we, you know? And when I sit there and started really focus on the situation, it was a lot more focusing on how he really feels about you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're questioning how he feels about you. Yeah. See, when you find out truths like this, and there's certain things that really disturb you and hurt you, I think what we really need to do at that point is ask ourselves how we feel. Because we don't have, because whatever he did or didn't do, or whatever, you know, the idea of the feelings and that kind of stuff, once we sit back and start focusing on how do I feel about this, how does this affect me, then I think we can actually see the truth a lot clearer in what we need to do. but if we're not willing to work on ourselves at the time, because we have to really honestly tell ourselves that nothing happens by chance. Everything happens for a reason. But we also have to do one thing, too, and not blame ourselves. Not in the sense that, okay, this person did what he did. I don't think it really needs to... I mean, I get the resonance with the whole thing where it's something that really hurts you, because it was, when it was told to you, it was very surprising, as in when you heard it, because it was, the way it came to me, it was more of a surprising, ooh, I had suspicions, and now your suspicions have been confirmed.
Yeah, why? Because he continued to lie, and yeah.
Let me ask you something, Rebecca. Do you lie to him? Be honest.
I was not honest how I found out the information.
You wasn't honest about how you found the information out?
Yeah.
So you were sneaky, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, apparently, I'm sorry.
Apparently, I know.
I was just going to say her gut was telling her something. Otherwise, she wouldn't have been suspicious.
Exactly. So she went down the avenue to get the information she needed to know.
Yeah.
So can we really call it sneaky or what's the word? Or is it constructive to find out a solution? That's what I look at it. I think she should look at that too.
Well, when your gut talks to you, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but you got to listen when your gut's telling you.
No, I was just saying, yes, I know what you're saying. No, I'm just saying that was very, very constructive to find the information she needed to know. But she has to ask herself a question to go to those links to find out the answer. What was she trying to do? She's trying to prove to herself something that she knew she needed to do a long time ago, because this is something that's not new. The guy's been lying to her for a very long time. And that's when she said, we've been together for a very long time. See, she's using that as justification to stay together, because she put the time in. So therefore, maybe he'll change. Mm-hmm. And maybe he'll stop lying to me. Maybe he'll stop doing all these things to me. But she knows down, if she would go from her head back down to her heart, she knows beyond the shadow of a doubt that he won't. We're not trying to be insensitive. We're just sitting here pointing it out.
No, I'm just, we've done this before in other lifetimes. And is not long. And he needs to get it right, because I'm not going to do this another lifetime.
Sweetie, you also have to look at the situation, too. I found this out a long time when I was engaged to this one girl named Sandy. Yeah, she was up. I'm sorry. Just take a deep breath. I was about ready to go someplace I don't need to go. Anyway, in the situation of having many lifetimes, what I found out was it wasn't – some people think it's so romantic. We've had so many lifetimes together. Oh, slap yourself and wake up, okay? Let's look at the picture for what it really is. Mine was one of those examples that we've been together for 3 or 4 lifetimes, not because unfinished business, as in the sense of staying together and finding those components to make our relationship work. It was the realization it took 3 or 4 lifetimes to realize we wasn't supposed to be together. You see the situation? You just sit there and made a statement that was very strong. I'm not going to do this again. So maybe what you need to do, and this is just a suggestion, okay? That you should consider sitting down with me and doing a past life reading. I guarantee I could point it out to you that something in the last past life that you had together that will give you that clarification. It says, oh, I should have done that last lifetime and said the same thing I just did now. It just, one of those things, sometimes the courage we're looking for to get that took one more lifetime to sit there and say, you know somebody? I'm not dealing with this anymore. It's the same thing. I've had people do the same thing. This person's my soulmate. Whoopty freaking do. If he's beating the shit out of you, you don't justify it to stay with the person and say, well, you know, hey, we're twin flames. We're soulmates. Yes, but see, the point of the thing is the person's not respecting the whole thing and you and everything that comes along with it. So therefore, in the process of what happens when you don't respect people, you have to live the consequences of losing those people. So therefore, the learning lesson I feel like he has to deal with here is the ideal that he can't continue to do what he's doing. And it's going to take something very drastic as the ideal of start losing everything. And it seems like you're the very first tip of the iceberg that's going to go, I'm done. But like when we use the reason we're using the metaphor iceberg, there's a whole lot underneath the surface that's coming his way, and that kind of karma is coming back. I wouldn't want to be a part of it.
True statement.
Yeah. Are you okay?
No, no.
Okay. It's okay, sweetie. Express yourself. Just sit there and go, hey, you know something? This is one of those things that really hurts you. There's a lot of things you've been suppressing that you just need to let go of. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And just let it out.
Yep.
If you, you know, because I'm sitting here looking, I'll sit there and I was actually thinking we were with Rebecca. Rebecca, I want you to sit. Really, I was serious. When I sit there, I said, sit there, relax, and take 3 deep breaths. You breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth and let go. For the first time since all this stuff's been unfolding, you need to do that. But I just felt like if we sit down and did a past life reading for you, just between the two of us, where we sit here and look at the whole thing, because I keep getting that it's actually this span of 3 lifetimes. 3 come across very strongly on this one. And we're surprising that back in the old time, I get almost like a really connection. It was kind of funny, the last call was from Texas. I actually get a connection with Texas, Oklahoma, and all those places in there where I feel like you and this guy were together, married, and he just really just did a number on you then that I was surprised in that lifetime. We're talking, I want to say,
Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying with the situation of that lifetime. It seemed like it has a lot of old patterns with West and that kind of stuff, and some of the things we've actually seen where people, where the guy has a tendency to be really abusive. There's no words spoken.
And then he left.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things of leaving, but also the idea of what it seems like everything detailed to blaming you.
Yeah, and that's what, yeah.
Yeah, the reason I lie is because you did this to me, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that. And I'm like, you lied because
you did. That's what he did this evening. He switched it around. Like,
they're good for that. Then they don't take on the responsibility for their actions.
Did you say men?
I said they.
Okay, they. I'm just saying, because I'm sitting there going, you know something, the situation, I've seen these situations and doing this kind of work.
It goes both sides.
I love using these as examples of something that I would never do. Are you serious? We have water. We have clocks.
It's my clock. Oh, it is.
So, Rebecca, when's your birthday, sweetie?
In March, March 10th.
March 10th. She is a Pisces. I don't care what anybody says. I like Pisces.
Thank you.
You just gotta keep them. You gotta keep them away from the freaking scotch. But you know.
Oh, my God.
You're
funny.
I had this one one girl who was a Pisces. I really loved her. She was great, but boy, she couldn't let go of the vodka. And I know I don't like it because I can't even pronounce the word. But seriously, it's all she used to drink. It was vodka and water. And she says, as long as I drink the water, I'm good to go. I can drink more. So I was like, okay. But they're very passionate, loving people too. So,
yeah.
But they don't like spiders. I don't know what to say. Anyway. Do you like spiders?
No.
See, don't you? Pisces don't like spiders.
I don't either, but I'm not scared of them. Don't like them.
Just don't like them. So we're not going to talk to you. Okay. So with the situation we're talking about, with everything that's going on, all right, I just want to make sure that with the situation you're going through, to help you understand that we've come to, it's almost like you have already come to realizations of what you need to do. But don't let things like... Because I've had this a lot of times with people who we know. The reason I say this because I've heard this not with just people who want to hang on to relationships as in romantic, but it seems to fall in the pattern of actually being an excuse to hang on to relationships of all kinds, friendships, acquaintances, those kind of things. And say, well, you know, sure, this person treats me like garbage, but we've known each other for 6 years. I'm sorry, this is not a job. You know, and if it was a job, I would quit. And, because it seems like, seriously, I just get this really strong impression with you. What year was you born?
Some near 73.
Yeah, okay, because you got to remember one thing, Rebecca. See, Lori's my friend. I already know all this stuff. So, but I don't know you. So I was just saying, with the situation you're going through, that kind of stuff. You were born in 73?
Yeah.
73 means you are... How come I can't think of this? 39? 38?
Almost 39.
What's that mean, almost?
Creeping up on 39.
I can see it, but I'm running away from it. That's what it means, right?
I am too.
But when I sit, so I said, no, I'm serious. I saw this picture. She's sitting there going, there's 39. I got to go the other way. See, you know, so, but I was sitting there looking at the situation. I was saying to you, it seems like there's a lot of stress going on. And I was sitting there looking at this thing. I read this last week. And it was like this one little piece in here I was reading where I put it out. I actually sent this to Belle. And you guys should really, I guess the best way to check out this magazine, right, Lori, is on Facebook?
Yeah, because it's not published yet, but you can go to the fan page on Facebook.
I sent this out over the airways. I put down, I was sitting there one day and it just came to me because I was like in this mode of looking for peace in my life. And it just came out where I put down, I was looking for peace in my life by looking for that missing piece, which turned out to be me. And when you sit here and look at the situation of what you're looking for, Rebecca, is to realize that you are a beautiful woman and you deserve because you give. And when people don't, the reflection to you, I think, in some sense the word, is the ideal. You need to pay attention and follow your heart because you're thinking too much. And when you look at the situations, you're thinking all the ways you can sit there and make this work.
That sounds so familiar. You're speaking my language here.
Right. So we sit there. So we had this. I was actually looking up. See, it was this. I wrote this weird poem called Memories. And I was just having to look at this thing, and I was like, maybe she needs to hear this. I don't know. It just came up. We can sit there and go over it real quick, and you can give me what you think. But it goes like this. A one, and it, I'm just kidding. But it's like that one guy on what was it? A Living Color. A one, and a two, and it, and here we go. I think it's gonna hit the spot, so I'm gonna go ahead and read it anyway.
Is this one you were telling me the other day?
No, this is. I got a bunch of these. This one here is just memories. This one here goes, memories of you so close to my heart. Your beautiful face seems like a work of art. Divine love will you real? Let's try this again. Divine love will reunite us. One more time. Let's try this one more time. Okay. Memories of you so close to my heart. Your beautiful face seems like a work of art. Divine love will reunite us, you and me, because together as it should always be. For there is only one for me that is true. From the beginning of time, it has always been you. Your soft pink lips to your cute pink toes. I thought you knew. God and the angels knew. So when you look at the situation of the poem, it's saying sometimes we fixate ourselves on one person thinking that's the one. And if we don't have that one person, we think about these things all the time. So, okay, if this is it, and this is all this stuff happened here, and there's memories, and I got this thing going in my head, this has got to be the one. Why would it even happen in the first place? And what it's actually pointing out at the end of this thing, it says, I thought you knew. God and the angels knew. What it actually is, it's a metaphor. It's like a reversal. No, an irony. It's an irony. We think it's one thing, but it's the other. But it's the idea of clarifying that what you're actually focusing on, what you want with your life, and the kind of life you want, you will get that. And the angels and God are telling you that. It's just the idea of the person it's supposed to be with. It's not the one you think it is. And they've been pointing that out to you for a very long time with all the things going on. So, okay, think about this for a minute. You've been putting up with lying and all kinds of things, and he reverses things. He doesn't take the credit for the things he does. And he's constantly pointing out that it's the world's fault. But we also know for a fact that people create their own world. So therefore, it reflects really with what's in within him is reflecting in the outer world. And it's trying to give you a picture and say, okay, these are the things that you would never want to be a part of. I just don't get the impression you would be a person who would actually flat out lie to somebody.
Yeah, I don't lie to him.
Mhm. But you're also looking for someone to give you that kind of respect. Don't you understand what the situation is going on right now? If you continue this in the process of looking at him and say, well, he's really disrespecting me. But if you sit here and look at the situation and you see this, you're only disrespecting yourself if you let it continue. Because this is something we consider and look at the situation and go, okay, maybe she should try again. Maybe she should find a solution. Or maybe we should look at the idea, what's really going on here, as something being reflected to her, as something she's not. And since it's reflecting back to her, this is no way in kind of shape or word her. It's telling her she's with the wrong person. Because she's not, because who she is not reflecting back through him. If anything, it's bouncing off. It's almost like someone forgot to turn the TV on. We're expecting to still watch All in the Family. You know? I wonder, okay, well, we see a black screen. I mean, sometimes it's the idea, like, you can ask the Lori, sometimes when things happen, or they don't happen, they're all happening for a reason.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
There you go. This thing's not happening. It's not falling into place. Why is it not falling into place? Because it's not supposed to. That's the answer with the situation you're going through. Because, I mean, when you first started talking, I already started seeing the justification why you should continue. That makes sense, don't it?
It's just so crazy. Men really are drawn to me, and they really like me, and
mm-hmm.
you know, always ask, you know, out, and I can't, you know, and I'm in love with someone else, so.
Okay.
I can't be with anyone else because.
No, but you can be with somebody else. But see, right, that's what we put in perspective for you at this moment. What it's really reflecting to you is you can't, because you said men. You didn't say him. You didn't say indirectly men are attracted to you. He's attracted to you. Okay, that's great. But see, we were talking about this before, too, and I think it needs to be said again. It's the ideal of realizing in the process of getting to the point where we're at now, to realize how many things we have attracted in our lives because of the fears we still hung on to. And in the process of letting those go, we start seeing a positive change in our lives because people and situations don't happen anymore. And when we sit and look at this situation with her, this is a prime example of some things we have to look at and change things and proceed in a different way. Is the ideal of really sitting down and getting to know people and telling ourselves, and the ideal of being physical. Because we were talking about this earlier. We've ever seen people who drink and do drugs. Usually about the time they start abusing these things is the time they stop maturing. So when you have a person who's acting like a 13-year-old, more likely that's when they
yeah.
start abusing drugs and alcohol. Well, in the process of relationships, if we look at these things very clearly, if we go to the physical first, the relationship stops maturing. So people have to understand that real relationships and the real person we're looking for, as in the significant other, the twin flame, even the soulmates and those kind of things, they all start as a spiritual connection first. If it starts in the physical, it's usually just a physical, and then we spend the rest of the relationship trying to live up to that.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah, to sit there and say, oh, you know something, man? We had the sex, so this has got to be good. So therefore, you start putting all this stuff into it to make it be what you think it is. When if you would have held on the physical part for a moment and really got to know each other, there's really prime examples of this thing. If you look out there, there's stories of people. Like
you
one
explained
lady,
my marriage.
Right.
So 17 years, yep.
Right, but I sit there and looked at this. There was a prime example of this. I mean, I was sitting there when I was actually with the situation with Ruth and everything. It was a prime example of really people getting to know each other because we were talking through Skype, and you had to take the time, you know. But when people sit there and do certain things, you know, go to the computer, get things lined up, things don't fall into place. Don't think this. I mean, I was telling this friend of mine the other day, but you didn't really have a relationship with her, you know, like when you pay bills and that kind of stuff. I'm like, listen to the story. You'll see that I did. You know, a phone bill was ran up, so we sit down and figured it out, how to sit there and deal with that, make payments on the whole thing. So, you know, people can make these things like that to take that kind of work. If you can do that your whole life, you're going to have something good. But see, sometimes those are good situations communicating through Skype and having long-distance relationships, if they're used in the right way, of getting to know each other. There was another prime example of that, too, of some guy was in prison, and this woman who was a lawyer, she was a lawyer or something about the whole thing, but she just knew he was innocent because she kind of looked over the situation and got this team together. But see, this took 5 years to get this to the point where he got out of prison. Well, in the process of the whole thing, they actually developed a relationship between the two and fell in love with each other. But see, he was on death row. He was up for murder. I mean, he was in there because of murder charges, so he could not touch anybody, and she could not touch him. There was a piece of plastic between them the 5 years. He gets out of prison, and they're sitting there being interviewed, and they go, I guess you guys got to go back to square one and develop this relationship. And they said no. The physical part was just the last piece of the puzzle of something that already happened to the point of this great romance. And if it wouldn't have unfolded like this, we would have never got to know each other for real. So, you know, when you sort of look at these situations and we look at them and go, that can't be something real, because what we're doing is we're being worldly and saying, you can't have something real unless you're fucking everybody to death, okay? And you're having that sexual connection and that sexual relationship in the physical. If you don't have the physical, then you don't have nothing real. Not realizing what is real within a relationship is the love between two people, which cannot be seen, but it can be experienced and it can be felt. It's amazing how we can go outside and have the wind smack us in the face, and we believe that exists, and we can't see it. But we don't realize that relationships and people and emotions and those kind of incidences, you have the same feeling. When you walk outside and the wind hits you in the face, we have all kinds of expressions. If it's a warm wind or a warm breeze, we take it in. If it's cold, we usually cuss it. But, you
hey,
know,
Donnie,
there's the, what?
Can I add something to that?
As soon as I'm done.
In reflection to the last relationship I had, the person,
uh-huh.
You can even know that the person is your soulmate, but it could be everything's not in line for it to work, because uh-huh. I accepted it because a lot of it is I felt that connection with him because of the fact he was my soulmate, and I accepted him to treat me the way he did when I didn't, I shouldn't have anyway. And that's part of realizing
yeah.
your self-worth and then letting go of that, and it's never that easy to do. But
that makes sense, because we're sitting accepting people and whatever they do to us because of we're supposed to have a certain kind of connection, and thinking that justifies the ideal of letting them be who they are, not realizing that we don't have to. Well, we don't have to.
It comes back to self-worth.
Yeah, because we were sitting talking before too. When we were sitting talking about the situation, what you want in life. You can't have anything in life until you're willing to accept that you can't have that in life, which you have to be in that situation where the angels say, to thyself be true. So if you're in a job working your little butt off and you're not being true to yourself, more likely you're not happy. It's the same thing with people and relationships and that kind of stuff. If you're not really in it, but you feel like you have to. See, that, I think it's the big thing there is the fear is telling you that if I don't, because people with jobs, that's a prime example. People go, I got fired. You're right, man. It's going to be the last job you ever have. And then all of a sudden they snap out and go, what? That's not true. Well, listen to your ass. Listen to your attitude. You're centered, basically you're telling the universe with your mopey and, you know, your negative way. You're saying, I got fired. What am I going to do now? That tells the universe you've given up, that you don't think you're ever going to get in the job in the world. But once you let go of that preconceived thought and realize that ain't true, or that's not true, in case my English teacher's out there listening, that was just a prime example of pointing you in the right direction. I mean, I've said it before. I just wish people had arrows on their heads when they fire you, pointing you in the right direction. And if you see an arrow, if you see an arrow pointing back at you, that means you need to focus on yourself, because you've been giving too much to everybody else. You can't, you know, to thyself be true, but also the idea of you cannot give up yourself unless you give yourself the same attention. You know, you want to sit there and you want to help the world by helping yourself and healing yourself. So do you help and heal the world. Because it starts with you first. It's a chain reaction, I guarantee you. So with the situation, Rebecca, I understand what you're saying. But see, right now you're on the point of saying, okay, this person I put in so much time with. But I was telling a friend the other day, I said, think about this. If we listen to one commandment in the Bible, it says, save yourself for that one person. and don't have sex before marriage and all those kind of things, and looked at it as more of a way of looking at things in a different way, in a spiritual sense, to realize if we would have done that, how much baggage we would not have. That would have been so clear for us to see exactly who we were supposed to be with, because there's nothing clouding our vision. No baggage. You see? So what we need to do in the process of doing these processes, we keep talking about clearing and clearings and cleansings and that kind of stuff, is the idea to get ourselves back to that point where those don't exist anymore. That makes things so clear for you, that you can actually see things for what they are, and you can actually see the person who's really was meant for you in the first place. It's the idea of being honest with yourself and saying that in the situation of the decision I made to be with a certain person or go down a certain path, to realize that now I'm seeing a clarification that maybe that was the wrong direction to go into, and I learned that lesson. But you don't have to go and, because you sit and look at the situation and ask yourself clearly, do you see this person ever changing to being what you want him to be? Because when you ask that question, you got to be totally honest with yourself. This person has been portraying himself exactly who he is from the time you met him. You saw it, you felt it, and now we've come to a realization that says, God, you know, someone's like I'm saying, if we come to these realizations and go, oh my gosh, that is so true.
Well,
what am I going to do now?
He's going on sabbatical soon, and I'm hoping that he'll have an awakening.
But see, the one thing you have to understand, sweetie, the idea of being with a significant other is accepting each other for who you are, because you like what you see, which means you like who you are, he likes who he is. And in the process of being together, you like each other. You like that connection. You like everything's going on. There is no changing. It's just two people coming together to be happy with each other. Not to make each other happy, but to be with each other and to be happy. In the process of doing that, you instinctively and spontaneously treat people to the point where you feel like, this person makes me happy. But he's not doing anything physically to do that. He's just being who he is. And you look at the situation here, this guy is being himself, and the process of him really being himself, you're not happy. Because, you're right. I mean, you go and sit and you're thinking, saying, well, anybody can change. And that's true. Anybody can change. I just don't feel like in this situation that he's not going to, it's like, what was this? I saw this before. A lady asked me a question. She goes, me and this guy got together. We got married, and then he changed. And I said, no, he didn't, dear. He just became who he was. Because he was pretending to be something he wasn't, to be with you. So therefore, he didn't have faith in himself. He didn't have faith in the relationship. And he really didn't have faith in you either. He was just hoping something would happen good out of this. And when it didn't, the thing we have here with the lying and the frustration and the way he treats you is frustration, because it's like a realization on both sides of the thing. Okay? One wants to accept it, the other one doesn't. You know, almost like you feel two people pulling away from each other, but they won't admit it.
I don't know. I think we'll end up together.
And what do you think that?
I'm just frustrated. Like, I don't want to, you know.
Is it really that scary to go out there and to do this all over again, to find someone else?
I don't want anyone else.
Okay, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
With the situation of what you know now compared to what you knew then, okay, I want you to look at things where they are right now. Let's say that you're together, you meet this guy, and he portrays himself just like the way he is right now. Would he have gone past a first date?
Yeah.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay, we're on the first date and the guy lies to you. Okay, let's put it this way. What's the worst thing he's ever done to you? What's the worst thing he's ever done to you? There's no pressure here.
Disloyal.
He what?
disloyalty.
Just disloyalty. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you look at the situation and go, okay, you have this thing where you're dead bent on this is the guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the sad thing about it is?
Yeah.
The person you're supposed to be with and the process of what you're thinking right now will never be able to experience you and love you the way you're supposed to be loved.
And truly be happy.
Yes. And I think that's in some way you can look at it being an injustice, because I feel like the person you're supposed to be with should be able to experience you because you are real and genuine. The guy here, that when I sit here and say reflection, I think he reflects back to you of how real you are, because he's not. It's not the idea of criticizing or insulting anybody. It's just the idea of pointing out the truth. And then you're right. You need to come to a realization on your own, and you need to see things for what's going on. I'm just putting it out there and saying that's what I see. As a person who sees the future and sees what's going on and see maybe in the sense of the word or who you're supposed to be with, to see that was the first thing that came to me, was to see the person you're supposed to be with on the street corner going, I wonder where she's at. So it's just some things you have to consider of looking at situations and realizing that some sense of the word, maybe the best way to help this person, because I'm not even sitting there justifying and saying you're not in love with him. I know you are. You love him. You see him for who he is. You don't see all this crap he's doing. These are just actions. You really see the person, and you're waiting for him to be that person. There's a lot of surface to go through to get... All right? Hold on, everybody, for 1 second. Just say where you're at, because I'm going to sit here and thank everybody for being here. Thank you for all the people that are calling in, and everybody's in the queue, and just stay right where you're at, because I want to get to you, I swear. And we're going to answer all your questions. I just want to thank everybody for being here, because we've got 90 seconds left in the show. It went by pretty quickly. So once you guys get those donations in there, so we can bump this up to 3 hours. I don't know if we even have enough time then. Anyway, but put it out there and that kind of thing. So donate. Anybody wanting private, if you want a private reading, take advantage of all the prices we got going right now, with $33.33 for a 60-minute reading, $22.22 for a 40-minute reading, and $11.11 for a 20-minute reading. And if you want to do some life coaching or relationship counseling, those are $77.77. So give us a call at 740-500-8863, or contact me through my website, which is actually www.psychicxjourneyman.com, or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835. I'll be looking forward to hearing from each and every one of you. I'd love to do work with each and every one of you too, so we can actually get those things going on and actually prove to everybody you can have the life you want. All right, let's go back to our friend here, Rebecca and Lori. And it was one of those things, I really wanted to sit there and get an emphasis on this magazine, because it's great that you came in here, because I was actually calling the magazine, I guess I should have read it again, but I was calling it Bell Spirit.
No, Bell Esprit.
I
get it right.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because I was, something came over me and says, ask her, because she's going to tell you something that's going to make you think, oh, I've been screwing up. So you did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Bell Esprit.
Bell Esprit. Bell Esprit.
Bell Esprit magazine. Yes. And me and Lori are both going to be in there. You going to use your real name?
Of course.
Okay, cool. And Bell
all
said
you
I have
get. To, you get the real me. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, Bell said I have to use my real name too.
Jeez. Oh, wow.
Anyway. So, Rebecca, with the situation, like I said before, we're not trying to beat up on you or nothing, I swear. It's just the idea of looking at a person who's very compassionate, and you're very kind and very gifted and very talented in the process of being in this relationship. A lot of things are being pushed to the side in favor of, I don't want to use the word dork, but this guy. But he's, you know, it's like I said before, the reason I would even go that route is because he is dorkish. I mean, some of the things he does, it just baffles me. It's almost like looking at this one guy who sat there and said, his girlfriend asked him, where'd you go? He said, I went to McDonald's. And he actually went to Wendy's. He'd been up to the concept of lying so much.
I'm like, what is the purpose of that? I don't understand.
I do. Yeah. It's called control. So it's like a little bit of form of control where, okay, I know where I was, and when I'm ready, I'll let you know too. But today, you get the fabrication in the story. So you got to look at the situation and say, okay, we can wait for changes. But see, we should never had to wait for changes. We should have got the real deal when we first got together.
He's got to be willing to change too, though. That's just it. He may never be willing to. He may be happy just right where he's at.
I know that. But see, the one thing that bothers me the most is that we're all looking for people that will accept us for who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are talking about, can you accept him for who he is and live with this for the rest of your life? That's the conclusion of the situation, because we shouldn't be put in those situations. We work with people all the time. We're telling people you should change and work these things out, get the balances, all the perfections and clearings and cleansing and all this kind of stuff before you get to the relationship part. So therefore, you're ready, and you can be yourself, and you can commit fully, because there's no blockages to keep you from doing it. So you look at the situation of one thing that your friend, and one thing I like to ask is, what is this guy's name?
Todd.
Todd. See, I don't even like the name, but I'm just kidding. When I look at the situation of Todd, it's just the ideal coming into a situation and pretending to be somebody he wasn't. I mean, you can tell me I'm wrong, but I just don't feel like I am. I just feel like he wasn't really portraying himself the way he is now. There are certain things he didn't really put out there until he felt like he really had you.
And then once you get married, then you realize, oh, what did I get myself into? But this is what I got, so you do the best that you can with it.
Yeah, not realizing society has a tendency to put us in these chains that makes us realize that I feel like this. If God points out something to us as a realization that I should have gone down a different path and it's time to change, I feel like when that realization happens right at that moment, that's the time we make the decision and follow through. So if I'm destined to, because people say, well, once you marry, you're there. And I said,
that was my belief. I fought to make it last because I was determined to not be divorced, to make it work, no matter what, to make it work.
And we all get caught in the situation, because I was like, well, you, Rebecca, I've been in where you're at. I've been there.
Me too.
I think I actually went through that whole thing. It's like we always get the one side of the whole thing. The woman is on the other side that's abusing and this and the other going lying and stuff like that. We don't see both sides of the story. And I think in some sense the word, it might have happened just that way, just so I could have a different point of looking at people. And maybe I was just being too arrogant and saying, well, you need to get out of there. Until I got put into one situation where I was constantly waiting for one thing. For a person to sit there and look like this, Rebecca, the thing I was waiting for was for her to realize what she had was so special that she'd stop doing what she's doing. Does that ring a bell with you?
Yeah.
So you see the situation? We're not like barking and saying, okay, this is what you should do. We've been there. We understand exactly where you're at. It's just the idea that we know where what we have to do. And sometimes, like I said before, the angels are saying, you're going to get that perfect relationship. You're going to find someone who's going to love you. You're going to find someone who's going to come home from work and hug you and tell you the truth that they went to Wendy's and spent $300.
Yeah,
on food.
The small
I know,
line,
but I really want to love someone.
What?
That's the hard part.
I really want.
Yep, sweetheart, I'm just the same way.
Okay,
trust
I didn't
me.
Hear you, because you both were talking at the same time. I didn't hear what she said.
No, she really wants to love someone.
Yeah, but the bottom
yeah.
line, Rebecca really wants is she wants to be loved unconditionally, and she's hoping
mm-hmm.
this guy will do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this, Rebecca. It's like looking at you and saying, I love you. No expectations, no nothing else. It's just the idea of loving who you are. Just because of the experience I've had since you've been on the show, you're a very lovely person. That's what you're looking for. And once you get that experience of someone loving you unconditionally, I just have a funny feeling you'll change in some drastic measure too, because of being able to let yourself out and be yourself. Right now, you've come up with all kinds of techniques to deal with the situation that you've gotten away from who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, I did the same thing. I had to go and God, I had to lose 50 pounds. Because it was just, yeah, oh, she's, you know, it's like we start doing things. Like, for example, I remember when I was with Sandy, I started eating Hamburger Helper. I don't eat red meat. And we started doing these crazy things to keep these relationships going and say, okay, why am I doing this? And I saw things, I saw signs, I've been there before. My guides are saying, you know something, you need to get the hell out of here. Well, they didn't say it that way. That was my interpretation. But it was more like saying, you need to get out of here. You need to pack up, get, go. There's the person you're looking for, the kind of relationship you're looking for, the kind of love you're looking for to get is not this person, because this person can't even love themselves. And see the point with your Todd friend, the reason he's acting the way he is, what I was saying before, is he doesn't like himself either. He doesn't like what he does. But see, I just feel like with the situation, the one thing that came to me the clearest is the idea, if you really love him, you might have to leave him. Because the only way he can get a realization, because as long as he knows you're going to be there, he's going to keep doing what he's doing.
Enabling him.
Yeah, but I also feel like if you get away from him and experience something different as something really real of somebody who comes to you and said, okay, this is who I am, and that's who they are. You know, sometimes we don't go back. I can't go back to him. And the one thing we'd have a problem with Todd in the first place is because you have these good times, these good moments, but that in the back of your mind, you're still always scared to death he's going to go back the way he was, which he's done, which is what he's doing now. This has happened many times, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So do you think we're...
And it just...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I mean, he's also... has metastatic... Can't, you know, there's also health issues. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's living, but he was at one point just not given very long time. And, you know, I don't know. So given all that, I thought maybe... I don't know.
Well, can you see in some ways, some sense of the word, you're making yourself responsible for this person and his happiness? In the process of really trying to make him happy, you kind of like neglected yourself. Actually, I would sit here and say you've neglected yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, because I feel like this is part of the reason that we're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Yes.
Again, that's what I'm saying with the lifetimes and stuff like that, too. But you got to look at the situation of people and how they put themselves in these situations. You know, a person that, when we sit here and start, I've done this with a couple of readings I was doing, too, where I started tracing health issues back. I have a friend of mine right now who's just, she has got aneurysms, supposedly, and she's also got a situation where she's gone blind. But she really has a hard time seeing the truth. So sometimes with things that we're refusing to do, they have a tendency to manifest through our bodies as physical ailments. Once you sit here and deal with those things, if you can heal your love life, if you can heal anything, then you can heal yourself. And when you look at the situations of a lot of these things, it just seems like there's more emotional stuff that he's hanging on to as well. So, and I just get this really strong impression that you're not responsible for him. And you're making yourself more responsible than you should be. Where he doesn't take the, because, I mean, think about this. I mean, realistically, here's a nice scenario for you if you can look at it the way you want to. You got a guy in a wheelchair, walks in, wheels his little butt into the freaking convenience store, blows the guy away with the freaking shotgun, and then steals the freaking money and leaves. Now, should we look at the guy and say, oh, he's in a wheelchair. Oh, he's got health problems. Or should we look at the situation, what he just did, because he made a conscious choice to do what he did. And he should pay for that. It's the same thing with somebody who's done the things he's done to you. That, not really in the sense of paying for them, but I don't think someone has to deal with those, because when we really look at the situation, he's not really appreciating you and the things you've done for him, because you've really gone out of your way for this guy.
So I'm basically probably I'm helping, but I'm probably hindering.
You're enabling him to keep doing the same things over and over again. That's why I said,
yeah.
The thing I was saying, you need to walk away from the situation. And once you walk away from the situation, because, you know, we've all been there before. I mean, I was with Sandy. She had a really bad back problem. But if you ever watched her and how she deals with people and what she does, she doesn't really have a backbone. And it's reflecting through her body that her backbone is actually wasting away. Can you imagine if you reverse all those things, like what would happen? People don't see that. All they see is one side of the story. Oh, it's hopeless. You know, I saw this lady on TV the other day. Well, it was a while back when she was talking about cancer. And my doctor says, I got cancer. I guess I got to deal with it for the rest of my life. And I'm sitting there going, what? That's why I don't like doctors. That just hit me, man, why I don't like doctors. They have a tendency to give these diagnoses, not just the idea of what's wrong with you, but death sentences. And see, in the situation of him and his situation, since his life, in some sense, the world, can be looked at as being hopeless, it's almost like you've imprisoned yourself because you feel like you need to be punished for something. I don't understand that. Or maybe I do. I just don't know how to approach it with the idea of health, and you understand that what the situation we have here is.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
We could also just say she's worth, you know, she deserves a whole lot more. But that's not that. But realistically, that's not our position to actually say. It's just the idea of looking at the situation for what's happening here and how you're being treated, which I can see. Well, I think we've already discussed that. We see this very clearly to the point where I just want to look at you and say, do you think we know what we're talking about? Because every time we've said anything, you've basically confirmed that's exactly what's going on. Even to the point where I started to tell you how he was lying, and you're sitting there going, that's exactly how you just did that tonight, you know? And we're sitting there going, so we do see the insights of this whole thing. It's just the idea of looking at you going, take in consideration that if you're being pulled into a different direction, don't feel guilty because of his life, his decisions, his thoughts. The way he has perceived things is what's created this life for him. And you've made yourself responsible for that. So in the process of that, in the process of thinking the way you're thinking, it's kind of a chaotic thing. What you said is you feel like you're in chaos. Do you realize how easy it would be to walk away from this chaos?
Yeah.
Because you're dead bent on that. I guess this one thing is clarifying. I understand what you're saying when you said this is the person. Because I've been there too. I've done that before. Like, oh, God brought us together. It's just an intent, you know. If he would just do this or she would just do that. If we would just listen to the conversation we're having, it's all about them. We didn't say that about ourselves. We just sit there and say, hey, you know something? If he would just or she would do, I was like, I did catch myself doing that because I actually got split up with this girl for 3 years, and then all of a sudden the angel said, she's going to call, and there's a potential of getting back together. But you need to listen to the woman, and you will know which way to go. So I said, okay, sure enough, the angels were right. She called, and then she bitched about everything. Everything, I was like, oh, I'm getting this flashback. We're going back 3 years when we broke up, and she's still complaining about everything and anything. And the angels was almost like pointing out things and saying, this woman is still in the past. What do you want to do? Do you want to go backwards? Do you want to give up all the things you got now like you did before in favor of true love? Or do you want to find out what true love is all about in the process of getting exactly what you want? And actually, when we say get what you want, it's the ideal of having a nurturing person who reflects back the nurturing person you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we look at the situation, does he care about you? Does he love you? You know, we can sit there and say, ooh, when I look at the situation. Well, you know, some people have a tendency to jump on the bandwagon. Well, you know, since you don't love himself, you can't love anybody else. No, let's get past that point, because we know we've had some hurts and pains of our own, and we still are able to love other people. So there's a good chance, when you look at the situation, that question is not debatable. The love is there. Love is in the air. Okay, sorry. Anyway, when you sit there and look at the situation, that's not the thing. The one thing I realized with my ex-fiance is I realized at the time that she was sitting there bitching, I still loved her, maybe even more than I did before. But the one thing I realized, too, it wasn't working between us. But it also pointed back to me what I've always told everybody. I'm a loving, caring person. So see, what happens is, of course I still love this person because I'm a loving, caring person. So it made perfect sense to me. But also this other part made sense, too, of saying this doesn't work. It's not going to work until she actually decides to become part of the present, and she's still in the past. She still thinks that if she looks at all those things and gets all that sympathy and people feeling sorry for her, then her life will change. If she gets disability, her life will change. She doesn't realize those are just keeping her in a position of enabling her to keep being the same way she is. And what's going to happen is it's going to be a bottom. She's going to bottom out and hit the freaking bottom lower than she's ever been. When she had all the signs in the world, she could have avoided those things. For some reason, we think we need to bottom out like that to learn something. There's a lot of things that happen before that that tell you don't have to. There's just a lot of realizations to take those realizations to make those changes. A lot of people just don't do that. But when you're going down that road, there's only one way you're going to go if you don't change, and you're going to hit bottom. I mean, you're going to get trashed. It's going to be like a big crash. The person you got here, we consider to look at the situation, maybe you don't have any drug problems. Oh, yeah? He's a compulsive liar. That's an addiction.
Yeah.
Because he does it because he's been doing it for so long. He also does it because of the action he gets from you. See that I still got control of my life because she believes me. I'm not realizing, didn't believe a word you said, dude. But That's the illusion, isn't it? When we do drugs and alcohol, we're still looking for that feeling we got when we first did it, not realizing that's gone. So you see the situation here with this person? You're looking for an illusion. What we're trying to say to you is the thing that you're looking for, the thing you want to be, the one thing you want to feel is not an illusion. The reason we look at this situation as an illusion, because he portrayed that he could do that. He cannot. Really, honestly, we get there and say, yes, he loves you, but can he really express that? Honestly, he's not. And seriously, let's look at the reflection too. Again, he is not emotionally available. That's why he does these things, because he doesn't want to get close to you. That's a beautiful thing. But if you sit here and look at the situation and putting yourself into it, you've done the same thing. You've shut yourself off emotionally because you feel like if you open up to anybody else, the realization could be really make you really, wow, he's not the one. And that's what I was saying before. I was trying to figure, okay, how to get to that point of actually pointing that out to you. The realization on your part is a realization you're scared to see. Because it's like looking at the situation. I was sitting here talking. We said we crossed this subject with Ruth, and when we sat and talked about the whole ideal, the ideal came to me and said, "You need to ask your angels what is her biggest fear," and then you understand why things played out the way they did. And what came to me was a situation. I asked the angels, "What was it?" And they said, "Well, the realization that happened if you just realized that all the people that you thought that you were friends and they were being supportive." And giving you the advice, in the process of giving you the advice, you found out they were lying to you. Well, the process, that's a realization itself. The people that are surrounding you are not what you thought they was. They lied to you. They're jealous of you. They're trying to keep you where you're at. But the other realization is, you start realizing the decisions you've made, the people you've gotten rid of because of that advice. Some of those people that you're really close to, that you're really deeply in love with, that realization can really make you go, oh, I don't know if I want to face that. So you have a tendency to avoid it. To realize that something you've done, even the price of, like what you said, we've been together for a very long time, and to realize that the whole time you've been together has been an illusion, that's a scary thing for people. And it's just one of those things of people, I always tell people, when you go get a reading and you do the whole kind of thing, and you hear this kind of stuff, some people say, well, that's being kind of harsh. Well, we never said we was going to sugarcoat anything. It's one of those things. You're looking for realizations. That's the thing I get. It's like, oh, my God. If I sit there and look at the situation, you'll get mad at yourself for making that decision to stay in this thing for so long as you have. When we should look at people and say no, look at the ideal like this. Simplify it. You just found out your friends are a bunch of bull. They lied to you. Okay, it's a realization. But now you know who to trust. And you know for a fact, maybe you don't have any friends you can trust, but one thing you do know, the people you can't. And also the situation here, making a decision like you've done yourself before, to realize that you put yourself in a situation because you thought this person would never have anything. So therefore you're going to try to give him something. Well, you've come to the conclusion that ain't working either. He doesn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
But don't beat yourself up and say, okay, well, that was stupid, wasn't it? No,
Bubba?
It wasn't stupid. You just made a decision. Now you see the error of your ways. Just say, well, people make mistakes all the time. I made one.
I'll go in here.
And now you need to change. Now you need to go the other way.
No, I didn't know he was outside, Mom.
And we have a conversation with Lori when she's talking to her mom and her dog. Isn't that great?
Oh, my mom left him outside. And he's
let's give her a round
outside.
Of applause. Lori.
What?
If you want the dog to be on the show, he has to schedule that, okay? Anyway.
Oh.
But I'm just saying, and people out there going, well, you're taking too much time with this lady. Am I really taking too much time with this lady? I don't think I am. It's like looking at a person and saying, this person is a very lovely, loving person. And I think it's just one of those things that sometimes we do get caught up in the situation where we're sitting there going, sweetie, I just want you to hope you hear what I'm saying to you, okay?
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't want to put the stigmatism on and say, well, you deserve somebody better, or you can do so much better. No, it's not the point. It's the point of looking at you and asking yourself, what do you think you deserve? I don't think you... It's like I want someone to love. That's a song, isn't it? I want somebody to love. Find somebody to love. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was a song. But I'm just saying, with your situation, I just want you to sit down and think about it. I almost want to sit there and say, I want you to stop disrespecting yourself.
Yeah.
Because this person is a very lovely person. He really is. But right now, he's not. So when we look at the situation of relationships, we want them to happen in the now. Well, this is not happening in the now. He is who he is and that kind of stuff. So we can sit here and wish he would, like I said before, we can wish him for the change. But realistically, to have those kind of expectations going into a relationship kind of destroys the whole freaking thing in the first place of true love. Because if we're sitting there thinking about how we wish he would change, that tells us right there we can't deal with it. We don't want to deal with it. Because we just told ourselves, I wish he would change. I wish that was done and over with. I know you have a hope in the back of your mind that he will be that person you always wish he was. But I want you to understand that vision you have in your mind. If it's something that you saw when you first got together, I just feel like that was an illusion. Something he portrayed to be because he felt like that's what you wanted to see. And now he's being himself. I know he's got some health issues and that kind of stuff, but it doesn't sound like anything. I don't think anything is really going to change because he doesn't feel like he has to. He thinks you're going to be there forever. And me, my biggest fear is I hope you don't stay there forever. If you just would pick up and just... I want to tell everybody something, too. We all sit and look at the situation. Maybe she can't go anywhere because she has no money. Well, maybe she sits and... Maybe the reason nothing's going on is because she hasn't made a conscious decision what she really wants to do first. You can say that right, Lori. Once we make that decision, what we do, what the doors of heavens opens up, and next thing you know, the opportunities to do what we need to do happen.
Look where I'm at.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. She's a prime example. They should have done a reality show on this one.
There you go.
Seriously, we have some situations.
No, that's serious. Yep, exactly. Yeah, once I finally let go of that relationship I was wrapped up in, the moment I decided to truly, totally cut ties and let go, everything opened up, and before you know it, here I am.
Yeah, we had some readings last year, didn't we? Where you were sitting there still trying to work that one out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, she decided to let go, and when she let go, it wasn't just the ideal of a different future. It was all the opportunities that fell into place so she could actually have that, to the point where I think the one that I thought was so amazing was when you got that truck from work.
Yeah, I quit my job, got 3 months extended pay, and they gave me the company truck.
Exactly. You know how'd that happen? That's what she wanted, because she was sitting there
thinking. I was working on that like this whole year.
Yeah, you were sitting there thinking. I remember that, too, because you were thinking, and you said, I'm worried a little bit. I'm worried.
Yeah,
about
how's it going to work? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Will I find a job when I get there, when I have money? And I told her, I said, well, you should think about it. You already got the house. That happened pretty quickly.
Well, I didn't even look for a place. It just fell in my lap.
Yeah, I was trying to get you to look at the other part and let it fall in your lap, too.
Yeah, it worked. It did work. It did work. Yep.
That's exactly what you said.
Exactly how you said it is how it played out.
Yeah. And I was sort of pointing out to Rebecca, and I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the same time she was on. It just happened that way. That was kind of wild. To hear the story of being with somebody... And think, you know, like you said before, soulmate, the connection, thinking mm-hmm. that was the person you're supposed to be with for the rest of your life. And then you decided to let go of it to see how it was going to play out. And the
because I was told, like, first of all, I had someone tell me, many times I was told to let go because it wasn't our time. He was my soulmate, but wasn't our time. He had so many lessons of his own to go through, and we would not be able to be where we're supposed to be at until he did that. So I needed to let go. But guess what? Because he lived upstairs from me, and I had that connection. It was almost like an addiction. I didn't want to be alone. I know that had a lot to do with it. And so I stuck with it. And as much as he was an ass to me and treated me with disrespect, unless he wanted my attention or my company, then it was like, turn it completely around. But then when I don't have time for you, then, yeah, he turns that other one back on again and just like, I ain't got time for you, or I don't want to hear you right now. What are you doing right here? Just go away and leave me alone. And downright rude and disrespectful. And I'm like, how can you treat me that way? Me, of all people, so nice and caring to you. That's just the way he was, and I was accepting it. I did that for almost a year. About like 7 months I was dealing with that.
I'm kind of freaking out because I just realized I've been doing this show for like 2 years. Anyway. But see, the one thing I was trying to stress too when I was pointing out Lori's life is to help Rebecca realize by making one choice. It wasn't just a change, one change. it was a chain reaction.
Just don't take the lies. Just don't take it anymore. You got to start standing up for yourself.
The guy has to understand one thing. This, to clarify, make it simple. He has to realize one thing. When we say enlabel somebody, that means you're not putting them in the situations of their consequences.
Mm-hmm.
To see.
You just got to stand in your and just take your power back, basically, is what you do. You stand your ground and don't take it. Don't accept his actions anymore. He needs to be responsible for his actions.
I mean, we were talking about, like with Sandy, I was sitting there with the situation going, okay, how can I help her? You know, try to help her heal and that kind of stuff. But heck, if she wasn't willing to do it herself, I was just spinning my wheels. And plus the idea of the back and the drugs and the alcohol and all that kind of stuff of realizing, okay, the person's falling. Yeah, the person's falling apart. And I'm sitting there going, well, you know, she has some health issues. Well, of course she has health issues because she's basically bringing those things on herself because of the choices she's made. And unless you put her in that position to deal with that, she'll never come to that realization. She'll just realize, okay, this person's going to bail me out. Or this I had a sister like that too. And then one day I threw a brick at her and said, enough's enough. People go, what? Don't worry, I missed her. I just threw it at her just to give her the idea of going, you know, it might sound crazy, but see, I had my sister living with me because she wasn't getting her. My dad threw her out when she was 13, so I took her over and took custody of her and the whole thing. But it seemed like every time I tried to do everything for her, what she would do is just knew that no matter what happened, I would bail her out. I would do this. I would, you know,
that's what she learned. Mm-hmm.
Right. So when you do that whole thing, now I'm attracting girls like that. Anyway. But I sat there and looked at the situation and said, okay, enough's enough. I know for a fact, I'm going to put my foot down and threw that brick at her. And she looked at me and she goes, you threw a brick at me. I said, yeah, laying right in front of you, didn't it? She goes, yeah. I said, when's the last time you ever seen me miss something? She said, never. You should think about that. Because it's basically saying to you, I care about you. I don't understand why you keep sabotaging everything and keep doing these things. You don't realize that it's just one of those things in the process of hurting people. And I said, I'm tired of you hurting me too. So I stopped. And will that ever happen again, me throw something at you? No, it's just the ideal. I had never dealt with teenagers. My daughter at that time was like 12, and she was 13 going on 30. So we had, it was a different experience. Yeah, it was a different experience. But I'm just saying, I freaked out and said, okay, what do I do? I mean, how would you feel? You came home one day and there's five cruisers around your house because of what your sister did. And I was like, what am I going to do? I was trying to be nice. That's what the whole thing is. I was trying to be nice, not realizing that it was okay to speak my mind and do what needed to be done and still be a loving, caring person. Because the idea of what?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say something.
I'm just saying, in the process of enabling her, I wasn't really loving her. I was just...
Yeah. You kind of let her down by not standing your ground with her.
Exactly.
What I was going to add is something came to me just now. Mm-hmm. She mentioned at the beginning about how all these guys been coming to her.
Mm-hmm.
And attracted to her.
She's a healer.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that is?
Yeah, she's
a
healer.
What came to me that maybe she's been given sight of that she doesn't have to be alone, that there is other men out there.
Yeah, it's not that too, but you have to look at the situation too, what she's in. If she's still in this and she's still attracting these guys, what she's attracting is the same of the same.
Same kind of people, yep.
Yeah, she's attracting these other guys, and she needs to look at those and say, okay, see, what we have a tendency to do, guys, really, we get with somebody, we know them by name. So since we know each other, we have a tendency to really justify what they do. But if this person came to you, and that's what I was telling Rebecca earlier when I asked her, I said, well, this guy came to you right now, being the way he is right now, would it really got past the first date? And she said, yes, it would have.
Probably not.
And I said, yeah, what you need to do is sit down and really look at that whole thing and ask yourself that really clearly. Is that true? You don't have to justify it to us. I'm just saying to you, ask yourself later
on.
Well,
at this point, no one gets a date from me.
Okay, that's sad. Anyway, but I was sitting there looking at the situation, but what I used to do, this one lady came to me and said, I got this guy who does drugs, he's an alcoholic, he beats me, but I need a father for my kids. Well, what I did was I did the reverse psychology. I said, you know something? You're right. You sound like the greatest father in the world. God, I wish I had one just like that. And she and it worked. And reverse psychology actually worked. She came back to me. She said, "I need to get out of here, don't I?" I said, "Yes, you do." But the one thing, my favorite one to use, is to look at people and go, okay, if this guy was a stranger and he did this and he walked up to you and just smacked the shit out of you, and he's a stranger, what would you do? And the very first comment that comes out of everybody's mouth I've ever asked that question to is, I would call the cops. I would have him thrown out. I would have him this, this, and this. But when you put the first name on it, oh, he's a good man. He's kind of, it's, okay, that's, we look at the statements that are being said. You can see that. You can see he's a good man. But what we're looking at is the ideal of taking
his actions.
Taking credit for his actions of smacking you, putting a fist in your face. And then look at the situation and say, if a guy looks at you and goes, you are being disrespectful to me. Actually, he's telling you the truth. But take the part out of him being, you know, reversal here. And put it in perspective and say, oh, no, what it means is, the reflection is, it means I'm being disrespectful to myself. Because I would not, because in the scheme of things in my life, for some reason we're scared to death to realize that we can't have what we want. And the worst, I think the worst ones we've had out there when people hook up with people who do have problems, drug problems, drinking problems, you know, they have all these things, ooh, they have issues. And you're thinking we have to take the responsibility of those issues. We never created those issues in the first place. It's up to that person, just like it is you, for you to take and stand up and take 100% accountability for your own life. Take the responsibility of what you did that brings you to this point. What was the one thing you could look at the situation that brought you to this point? It's not a question you need to answer to us. It's an answer that you need to give yourself and asking yourself and saying, I'm just, you're not looking for blame here. You're looking for a place to start. This is not working. We know that beyond the shadow of a doubt, this is not working. This relationship is not working. If it was working, you wouldn't be here talking to us. You wouldn't be sitting here contemplating on doing other things. You wouldn't sit there and be justifying what you are doing. You would just be living your life. And you're not living your life. You're not being yourself. You're not in a situation where you can even be yourself. But you're justifying why you can't. That's too much thinking. When you sit and look at the situation and ask yourself, what does my heart tell me I need to do? What is your heart resonating at this point? You just sit there and said it yourself. I'm looking for someone to love. To make that statement and to realize you said it out of your own mouth means you are not where you want to be. And you're not with the person you want to be with. There's a fantasy that you're hoping that one day you'll wake up and you'll be living it.
I've been there.
Yeah, and they're saying to you right now, the angels are saying, but you can't have that fantasy. There's nothing wrong with fantasy.
You
There's
can
nothing wrong
have
with
it.
Desires. But it's that this guy cannot give it to you because he can't even give it to himself.
Yep.
I just recommend that you sit. Do you need to do a
limp? I spent 17 years in that fantasy.
Yeah, Rebecca.
Until I finally got my eyes opened, realized what I was doing. I was wasting my time because he wasn't changing. I gave him 17 years to change, and I stayed for my kids. It took my 16-year-old to wake my eyes up and make me realize that I needed to leave.
Yes, I sit and look at the situation and go, okay, once you know, I think I would love to sit down and do a private session with you, okay?
Okay.
I want to sit down and give you some information so I can be the solvent that takes the super glue off your eyes so you can see things for what they are.
Okay.
And I want you to
have the website and all that.
Yeah, if you could, I'm serious. If you could do it now, I would love to sit down and do it with you. I would stay up later. I would stay up all night to sit there and clarify this for you. Okay.
Are you hard to? I have to go to sleep because I'm.
Okay.
I'd be headed.
All I'm saying to you, Sweetie, I'm just saying to you the importance it is to me. I mean, if you sit there and say, well, I'd like to do that tonight, I would do that. Take that time away and say, okay, sure, let's do that. But also, I understand, too, because it's like, I don't want to get some headaches, too, because I've been really pushing myself all freaking day. But I'm just saying that's the importance of the whole situation of actually sitting, because I think it's what you want. There's a lot of things you want to say now, but you want to do it more in a private setting. So just go to the website. Take care of the necessary... take care of the necessity thing. What I'm trying to say, you know. Take care of the process. There we go. And if you want to do it tomorrow, I'll do it with you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Hey, sweetheart, I'm going to tell you something, because I've been there. And it is a very scary thing, but I tell you what, it takes a big a lot of courage to take that first step. But once you take that first step, then it just gets easier every time you take that step. And when the more you realize it, and the more you realize that what you want, then everything just starts falling. It's just crazy how it just starts flowing, and you start feeling so much better, and you start finding, then trying to find yourself again. That's the part. And there's going to be processes that you're going to, like me, it's almost like peeling an onion. You have to go through layers till you finally get to the core of everything, and then finally realize who you are. But you'll get there, because trust me, I've been there, and I'm living a whole new life now because of what me going through that process. And it'd be a beautiful thing if you could at least find the courage to do the same thing, because you won't have to be alone. There's many people out there, and Donnie's already seeing someone for you, so you can trust what he says. Trust me. He's very good at what he does. So he's helped keep me in the right path, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, let's look at the situation too, Lori. You're the one who got me really considered for this job of even doing this column for this paper because of what you said. So it's one of those things I was sitting there saying to you, I appreciate you giving me that recommendation too as well.
Well, a spirit spoke to me or something, because the minute you talked about it, I had three people pop up, and all three of you, she's been impressed with every one of you. So
really?
Off the top of my head, yep. So...
So even with me dwelling on my ex, she still think I'm
yeah.
Anyway, I'm just saying with the situation, I'm just seeing things for what they are. I don't think I'm dwelling on her. I think dwelling means you do something every freaking day and your life just stops. And I've made points to not let that happen.
Well, it's just like with me in my current situation. I'm still learning to stop thinking so much and to let go. That one is... And just let it be. And it's always going to be a challenge because of our human brains always want to keep continually trying to control things when we need to learn to
let go. I did today. I had that ring I told you about. I had that ring around my neck on that necklace.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And today, and this morning I was taking it off and the clasp broke on it. I just get this impression I should throw this in the freaking trash, and because it's part of the past. Because every time I saw the ring, I would see her fingers in it when she showed me on Skype. And I'm sitting there going, I like that. It was a very positive feeling, but we also covered things that would keep us attached to the past, that keeps
wow.
Basically, there's no
it's
room.
It's funny that you said that, because this morning when I woke up, I had a flashback of the situation that I was just in before coming here. The whole entire relationship was a flashback. Every little thing, the good, the bad, everything, like within a 5-10 minute period, and then at the end of it, I realized, it was like the answer was right there. Well, I don't even know why I accepted that relationship for what it was. I don't know, but it was they flashed it to me for a reason, and then I'm like, to help me remind me that I do not want to repeat that again. I think that was to help show me to keep doing things differently the way I've been doing and not go back to the same bad habits. Otherwise, I'm going to end up in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it. It was just that thing came over this morning, and I was sitting there going over that whole thing, and I was like, you know, am I really doing anything that I shouldn't be doing? Because, I mean, we're sitting there talking about attachments and the situation or the attachment or the just connections you have with somebody and how you deal with them. I think if we deal with them in a positive way, constructive way, of just looking at them and maybe even if we're not with them, we can still look at it and see the reflection, what it does with us and learn from it, then I think those connections are still happening for a reason. And they could lead us one way. You know, they could lead us in one way or the other.
Positive. Everything happens for a reason. Everyone comes in our past for a reason. It's all, like Chris was my lesson learned. I learned the biggest lesson in my life I learned through him.
Yes.
And the only thing I can be right now is grateful for him being, excuse the language, but him being the asshole that he was. I'm very grateful for that because I learned a lot from him.
I know we should have hired some censors on that one. But
yeah, I know. That's why I said excuse the language. But...
but no, I was just saying with you, Rebecca. I mean, shoot, I mean, when you do see an alternative or you see things for what they are, there's nothing wrong with embracing those things. But when you're still questioning it, where it doesn't enable you to do that, you got to also look at that too. And with the situation you have here, you still cannot really embrace it because you're still looking for ways to do that. The spontaneous has been taken. So, you know. That's when some people look at the situation and go, you know, the reason they would say that you should be with somebody else is because of their needs are not being fulfilled. And realistically, his is not either. Because of his actions, you can't be that nurturing, caring person you are to him. So it's an injustice.
You could write down pros and cons about the whole relationship. That's a start.
Yeah. Or you could go back and listen to the show, because I think we already went over that. But
well, yeah, exactly. But sometimes when you write it down, it seems to register better.
That is true. I would definitely sit down, Rebecca, and if you don't have a journal of... Because a lot of people say, well, I write in a journal. Well, if this is your daily thing that you do, you need something separate from that. Sometimes I've gone to the extent of actually having a grateful journal. I have a journal I have where I do my abundance. I got a thing I do, the 40-day prosperity plan. That's another journal for that one. At one time I had four or five journals for different things, because it was that way. It helps you to focus, because like I always say, wherever you're at, be there. So if you're in your journal writing, be in your journal writing. If you're going to get at the park, be at the park. Don't be at the park and then thinking you're something where you should be at, because you're not really experiencing the moment, because you're somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking. Yeah. That's another prime example, too, that you're thinking too much. You're not really following your heart. Because if you're at the park, you should be having fun and not even thinking about anything. It's a let-go. And you really need to do that, too, because I don't feel like you do that enough. I don't think you find time for yourself.
Yeah, I've been trying to do it a little bit more, and I've been
seeing
some changes with more painting, more power in general.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, and the idea of sitting down and working and that kind of stuff, and we could cover all this out tomorrow, and really sit down and get deep into the whole situation and see what we got to do. Because I was sitting here looking at the queue, and we spent enough time with you. So
yes, you have. Well, thank you so much.
But there are still some people in the queue. There's actually two people. And Lori, it'd be great if you could stick around for a little bit.
Yeah,
shall I get in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also with you, Rebecca, please call me tomorrow. Like I said, do the process of what you got to do. Take care of that whole thing and then come to me, and then we can just forget all that stuff and focus what we got to do, okay?
That would be great.
All right. So
best of luck to you, Rebecca.
Good night.
You have a great night. Thank you for calling, okay? Just call me tomorrow. And seriously, it's so funny, because I actually had to go and log off the computer. I can't click on nobody on the computer on the switchboard, but I can on my phone. The only thing different on my phone is there's no buttons to put. I have to sit there and go, okay, feel my way around. Ooh, look at that. What I do? Oh, there we go. Okay, this is actually a person. This is a private call, because all we got is 11111s, which is great for manifestation, right?
Uh-huh.
But if you can hear me, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hello, Donnie. This is Sheena.
Sheena, how are you? What's up with the throat?
What's up with the what?
Your throat. You sound raspy.
Oh, well, it's early in the morning. It's like 2 a.m. right now. So,
Well, sorry for your long wait, but it's just, I was actually going to do a reading for her, too, and I'll give her a little, like a three-card one. Now I guess we'll just take care of that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's up tonight?
I wanted to touch on my living situation, the place that I live in, the building. The owners had informed us about 2 months ago. We were thinking that the building is like foreclosed or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And for like 2 months, we didn't have to pay, like the tenants weren't really paying rent, because the thing is that the place needs to be remodeled. And so every now and then, like, the manager of the building comes to, like, at first they wasn't letting us know that the building was foreclosed and they were still collecting rent, you know what I'm saying? And
uh-huh.
Then they switched the managers, and this guy, he just showed up out of the blue demanding money, and he was telling some of the tenants that whoever pays, they get to stay. But then when they gave him their money, he was like, well, you still have to leave or whatever, because, you know, you just have to leave. But he don't have any notices, and he pretty much just wants everybody to leave but can't do any, don't have any paperwork to force us. So I guess my question is does he want all the tenants to leave because the place is actually going to foreclose, or he just wants everybody to go so he can start remodeling and re-renting out to new people? So I want to know what's the deal, if you could pick up the energy around that.
I can freak out. Okay, Lori, what do you think? I'm just kidding. The situation with the... Yeah, everybody say hello to everybody. Lori, say hello to the...
Hello.
Oh, hi, Lori.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I didn't introduce you guys.
That's okay.
But with the situation, what you got to understand with this thing here, say your name again. Cheryl?
Sheena.
Sheena.
Yes, Cheryl is my mom's name. She's passed,
okay.
But that's my mom's name.
Well, Cheryl... Well, okay, if that's the case, then I was going to tell you this, too, that this Cheryl, as your mother, she's on your right side. She's with you all the time. She has a tendency to smack you in the back of the head because you don't listen. Okay.
Wow.
Okay, when we sit and look at the situation and what you're in right now, you got to think about this, sweetie, okay? If there's no documentation, you don't have to go nowhere. And he has to come up with documentation to do anything here. It doesn't matter if he's bought the building. He cannot clear the building yet until he did. There's this thing, I don't care what anybody says. It's called due process, and you have to stick to it, because what he's trying to do is intimidate you guys all to leave so he don't have to pay the money to get rid of you, because you can imagine. He has to pay for each one of those people. For each one of those apartments, he has to pay to have you evicted from those places before he can do anything. Just because the place gets sold, if you're under lease, the person who buys the house or buys the apartment building or whatever it is, he has to honor those things until they're completed. And once they're completed, then he can go through the process. But he still has to do the whole thing and say, okay, I'm giving you 3 days, 30 days, and then go from there. If you're in a process, because you've already got a prime example of the people have already paid and he's still telling them they got to go. So first of all, we have a person here who was a ripoff artist in the first place. And plus he's a liar, and we don't need any more else to sit there and look at the situation. But see, as long as you stay in the residency, there's nothing you can do about it. Once you leave, you're done. You can't do anything. You can't get back in. But once you stay your ground, you can stay right where you're at.
The thing is that there needs to be, like, repairs, and it does need to be fixed, some of the things that needs to be fixed. Do you see him actually doing that soon, or just kind of waiting one by one till people leave before he starts to remodel?
See, the vision I see is he's like a can of Raid, waiting for all the flies to drop, so he can clear the slate and do what he wants to do with it. So you got the first, and the second thing that came to me was this is a waiting period. He's definitely waiting until you all give in. Because that's why he's not doing any repairs in the first place. He never had intentions of doing any repairs until people leave those apartments. And that's what I see with him. He's definitely waiting it out.
Same situation I was just in before I came here.
And the whole situation is the environment he's in, he can wait forever.
Right.
And he knows you guys can't. But see, the point about the situation is sometimes when we talk about getting self-efficient, sometimes we have to do those things in the places where we didn't think we would have to, but see, you also have to sit there and look at proving a point. Because seriously, as long as you stay in the apartment, it will get to a point. You can actually, I think you can also file actions yourself, because there's this thing about landlords. What was it called?
There's landlord-tenant rights. She can look it up, whatever state she's in.
Right, and see, they have a period of time where they have to fix things. And what he's playing on, like most people do when they buy property and they're in this, they got this kind of mentality, they think since they've bought the building, it kind of voids everything out. He doesn't realize these are contracts. That's why the contracts are there in the first place, to protect you. So he can do what he wants, but at the same time, he has to realize that those contracts are also valid in the point where he has to honor them too. So therefore, whatever's in there, and plus, since you are a tenant, there's also a tenant right at what do you call them?
Landlord-tenant rights. As long as she's got a lease, then she's got rights. My lease ran out, and then I had no rights because my lease ran out. So the landlord was able to do what he did to me.
And plus, in some states, you have to watch it too, because, well, actually, what I mean by watch it means the landlord come in and say, well, since your lease is up, you have to leave. They don't realize in the process of, there's also this thing, most, like I knew this was in Maryland, that what happens is it goes from month to month. And if you already paid rent and the lease runs out and he asks you for any kind of money, and I always say, get a receipt. Anything happens with a transaction of any kind of money, whatever he's been trying to do before, that's voided out. So therefore, he has to honor you for whatever. And so if you
try to kick you out, bring the police over. The police will ask for paperwork from him.
To prove it. Yeah.
Yep. Before they will evict you, and then he'll at that point he'll have to go get paperwork, and that's 30 days or so just to get that done.
I was looking at the situation too. We just went through this with my brothers, and he has rental property in Chillicothe. He has a house, and the people that were there, I mean, they trashed the place. I mean, they were just really nasty, nasty, nasty. But even with that situation, the tenant still had rights, and they actually condemned the place until the lady was actually able to get her stuff out of there, so they couldn't do any kind of enforcing of getting her out of there. I was freaked out because it was funny too, because they actually, almost like they went backwards, and the people decided they wanted to leave. Well, they left for 2 months, and then they came back.
Why?
To get their mattresses. And then she called the cops. The cops showed up and said, well, you have no papers saying that she had to leave. And we were trying to explain to him, we're not saying that she has to leave. We're saying she already left. She's been gone for 2 months.
Mm.
The city came in. It's a corrupt little city. Anyway, they came back in and said, well, since you didn't go to court, you have to go through the whole process again. And this, at this point, she'd already left. But they still wanted my brother to go through the whole process to make their money. So right now, we've got this big thing in this country where everybody's out to make money off of everybody. And so therefore, we said this the other day, it's kind of funny how the world's gotten to the point where they try to enslave everybody. That's why I always tell everybody, I want you to get a perception of what you think your life should be and hold that firmly. And maybe if we all started doing that, then we could change these other injustices, because the positive perceptions would act basically, how would you put that? The positive perceptions would actually X out the negative ones. That's how you do it. You focus on the positive, and the process of focusing on the positive, if you
counteract.
Counteract the whole thing. I mean, if you got 10 people and one person's negative, you got 10 people are positive, it's been proven before that positive thoughts and positive energy is a whole lot more powerful than negative. But we're also told that negative or evil energy and that kind of stuff is so strong. But it's only strong because people feed into it. It even says in the Bible, Jesus says, don't resist evil. When you don't resist it, you're not putting any energy. You're not putting any energy into it. You're not putting anything to it because you're not accepting it. You're saying at that moment, I had people come to my shop one time and said that to me too. They said, do you believe in God and angels? And I told them my passionate story, how passionate I was about it. And then they came back and said, do you believe in the devil? And I said, no, I don't. And they go, well, he exists. I said, well, let me rephrase that. And I never said he didn't exist. I said, you asked me, what do I believe in? And I told you, that's what I believe in. You can't believe in both. So my energy goes toward the positive, so therefore it takes away from the evil. So it has no power over me. So that's what we say, don't resist it. And the easiest way to not resist it is to focus on what you want. It's the idea of the positive side of everything. Then you'll realize there is no duality. That's a human concept too as well. In the beginning, it was nothing but positive stuff. And then Adam and Eve said, I want what evil, good and evil is all about. And then they introduced something into this consciousness that was never there before. So it was a human concept. Now we know both sides of the story. And personally, I wish we didn't. I don't think we need to know what evil is to appreciate what good is, because a lot of us have experienced that. I do think there are, how do we put that? If it doesn't exist, then it would never be a problem. And I kind of like that concept. But everybody, I've studied a lot of things where when we look at things and perceptions and that kind of thing, where there's even been a couple of preachers who said that we focus too much on hell and the concept, when we should be focusing on nothing but the positive, the kingdom. And even when you think about it, when it says focus on the kingdom of God, it's saying if you focus on the kingdom of God, the only thing you ever get in your whole life is positive things. So basically what it's saying, if you want to simplify it, you focus on happiness, focus on positive, and if that's all you ever focus on in your whole freaking life, that's the only thing you would ever have. There are people who have a tendency to exploit it, but isn't it more of a mixture of evil?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way you look at it. So the situation you're talking about with your landlord is a guy who's trying to
manipulate.
He's trying to save money at the
yep.
expense of people's lives.
Yep.
And I think if we focus on the situation, and I said, sweetie, what I would really do right now is I would sit down and ask myself, you can stand your ground and prove a point, and, you know, and have, what do you call that, and prove a point, you know?
Well, she knows she's got rights, so she can stand by those rights.
Right.
Without letting him walk all over her, you know, out of fear. That's
pride.
What they do.
The thing about with him is that he'll go to certain people, like when he comes on the property, he'll go to certain people and tell them, like threaten them. Like, in a week you have to go, and then you'll always sit there and lie and say,
He's placing fear in people. That's what it is.
He knows. We had that too. I had a boss when I was working for the carnival. There are certain people he picked on because he knew he could get away with it, but there's other people he didn't do that, and I was one of them. So he knew for a fact that, yeah, people would slap the shit out of him. But
so my thing was,
same thing with this guy too.
When I talked to him.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, sweetie, one thing you have to sit there and think about right now, okay? We don't want to go down the downside of thinking all the negative things and all the things he is and things he isn't and all that kind of stuff. We don't need to know that. What we need to do right now is focus on the situation. We can stand here and stand on principle and say, okay, I have rights. But we could also ask ourselves if this is not a prime example of how the world and universe proves to us where we don't want to be at, that there is something better for us. Because I guarantee you, even if he does come in there and he does fix those places and you stand your ground, he's going to make your life miserable because you defied him. And he's not going to forget that. So what you need to do is look at the situation and ask yourself one question. The point of having a home and a roof over my head is to be happy, but also have it's like having a sanctuary, a place where you can feel safe. And right now you don't feel safe where you're at. So I'm just saying you should look at the situation. I would definitely focus on where I want to be at. I've done that so many times, and I've been taken out of situations so quickly, and people say, well, you know, hey, that guy can't do that to you. I ain't worried about that guy. I ain't worried about what he can and cannot do. I'm worried about my happiness.
Well, the thing is, like on this situation, though, she can use those rights to buy her some time to get her to a place, because it's not always